advertisers.
The News Junkie is on.
The three best friends you never knew you had. Running through the most viral stories of the day.
The News Junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
It's the News Junkie for a Friday, August 9, 2019. Lots to get to today, from a shocking way to erase your debt to a drunk flight attendant creates a huge scene mid-flight, and the bizarre new war against motivational posters. I'm off to a good start. Plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Hello.
Hello, C-Lane.
Good morning.
I'm a bit distracted right now. I'm watching the coverage on CNN.
We're watching the President of the United States melt before our eyes right now.
He's on the White House lawn, and President Trump, these reporters just keep asking him questions, and I think they were maybe even trolling because it's so hot out there. Water is just rushing down his face.
Yeah, I would totally ask him the most generic question that I know he would drone on about because... He's just sweating so bad.
I'm pretty sure if we had the audio on, it would sound like he's underwater because he has so much sweat going down his face.
It looks like there's a Key and Peele sketch where one of them, they use it as a meme where he's just got water, just sweat running down his face. He's just absolutely sweating.
Oh, gosh. Look
at his I'm done with these questions, please. I need a towel.
It's dripping off of him and like running down his lip into his mouth.
Because he's always wearing the suits. You know, you're a president. You got to like dress up all the time.
Can't wear like a bathing suit or anything.
Get the guy a t-shirt, man.
But he's also pacing back and forth, which I don't think is helping at all. But hey, calories.
Somebody kick on the blades on that chopper over there, maybe, just to get some kind of wind blowing around there. Poor guy. Sorry, a bit distracting. We got so much to get into today. It is Friday, after all.
Oh, yeah.
We made it. We did it.
Yeah.
We dragged our bodies this far through a week.
And I really dragged this morning. I tried to convince you guys.
I thought you were going to pull the trigger on that. I thought you were going to say, when the text, you're like, anybody feeling like maybe taking a day off?
With 12 periods.
Question mark? Yeah, I mean, I always think about this. Plus, Jack Bradshaw's not here today.
Oh, man.
You know, so it's like, you're like, he's not here. We could probably just not even do the show. Nobody would even know. We'll put on some best of and just roll through things.
Exactly. We'll pre-record a couple segments like, oh, happy Friday, August 9th, everybody.
Best yes. Thing. I mean, this right here could be recorded for all anybody knows.
Coming up next, Black Whopper.
Plus, I'm not feeling great today.
What's wrong?
It's sort of I've run into a bit of a mental wall, and I'll explain why. Last night after the show, I go back to the house, and I'm going to do an episode of the News Junkie Interviews with Scott Maxwell from the Orlando Sentinel, which is up. You can check it out. He sits down in the studio, and we start talking to do the show. And I'm talking to him about, you know, when he got started and stuff, and he goes, I think you and me are about the same age. You know, we grew up in the 70s, and I was like, Scott Maxwell thinks I'm 10 years older than I am, and I'm not even going to correct him, because it's not the first time I got that.
He's under the impression that you're 46 years old.
No, I think he thinks I'm old. I think he thinks I'm like almost 50 right now. And that's not...
Sean, that's not good, man.
I know. I don't know what it is. I thought I looked young.
Well, I mean, he's just basing that off of, because Scott Maxwell does not look his age. That guy looks a very young, very good-looking man for his age. So he just probably assumes that all the people that look that young are the same age.
I like that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Just, you know, I'm trying to correct your Friday. Trust me, man, I woke up on the bad side today, too. I had to ask Ashley, like, was I snoring bad last night? Because my throat was on fire this morning. Yeah.
What happened? What'd you consume?
Shots. It wasn't even more than any other night.
It wasn't even shots amount that I thought.
It wasn't even equal to a normal Thursday night out on the town. It was just, you know, I got home early, had a nightcap and went to bed. But like,
is your nightcap?
Four vodkas.
No, it was one little vodka and Crystal Light.
When you say one little vodka and Crystal Light,
it's in a rocks glass, short rocks glass.
Okay, all right, yeah. So that's surprising, actually.
And there's enough Crystal Light that it tastes like tea.
All right, okay. I mean, I would have suggested that it was a gigantic glass and you just slowly sipped on like that for the remainder of the evening.
Like the wine or the champagne flute that holds the entire bottle of champagne.
Yes,
like, yeah. I've only had one.
Well, I've also had a rough start as well, you guys.
Yeah?
We're really nailing it today, guys.
Yeah, that's why I suggested we take the day off. But I went, I thought maybe a simple battery change. That's what, $80, the worst. And then I get the call from the sweet lady at Dynasty Audio, Auto. And I love this place because it's an entire Asian family that runs it.
All right.
And she calls me. She goes, we have to keep your baby overnight.
Okay.
And it's also going to be $600
tomorrow. $600?
Because I need a new starter.
Oh.
So I started immediately drinking. And then
this morning?
Biscuit, no, that was last night. Okay. Biscuit Babe and I decided after a song came on that we were going to do some interpretive dancing in the living room. I went to lift her up like a figure skater, and she kicked me in the mouth. So I was profusely bleeding, then got ready to go do a comedy show.
Well, somehow we're going to hobble through the show today. Yeah, we're going to, we'll make it to that horizon.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
You know, that's one of the things, what is this, Casey into the show, Sunshine Band?
Yes.
It's one of the things about being in a band like that. You can't have it so you're having a bad day when you're singing those happy songs.
No.
Like, they couldn't come out of this. Celebrate. You have to.
Actually, it's cool in the gang before people start jumping down our throats.
That kind of day. Well, at least we're having a better day than this lady in Auburndale. And her last name is Robinson, Cynthia Robinson. I've never even heard of Auburndale, Florida, but that's where she's from.
Who's surprised?
Wherever that is. Cynthia Robinson told authorities that she was just trying to take her sweet dog for a walk yesterday. Her dog's name is Tank, a big-ass dog, as you can imagine. And the dog was in the prime of its life. Tank was just, I picture him gallivanting along the side of this like pond area, this little retention pond, and he's having a good time, and he's probably chasing around some bugs or something. And then, out of nowhere, a massive 400-pound alligator thrusts its body out of the retention pond and ate the dog.
Fatality.
Ate the damn dog. She said, I wanted to help the dog, but the alligator was huge and Tank didn't stand a chance. Poor dog.
Not much of a tank, is he, then?
This thing is absolutely massive, though. A trapper with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission has been sent to the park to search for the gator. Well, they had a photo of it. They must have already got the thing. And unfortunately for the gator, trappers said the alligator will be euthanized now. No small animal, though. Big ass, and it's robust now because it's got a tank inside of it. So the alligator ate the dog, and it's like, you know, all puffed up.
Poor Tank, man.
The guy handling it was like, this is no big deal. Here we go. Let me get this gator. And then they'll turn it into some belts or something, I'm sure. Let's go over to John. Go ahead, John.
Oh, I didn't want to be on the radio.
I'll put it back on hold. FCC regulations. John.
Well, then why did he want to be on the
radio? I don't know.
He wants to change your starter. You got to talk to him during the break.
All right, we'll let him sit right there. John, well, you already got somebody doing it. You've already...
change your starter?
He wants to do the work on your car.
Oh, okay. I thought you wanted to change how you introduce the show. Oh. Like, I think you need to start this show way different.
Well, I mean, he's not wrong today.
No, we'll definitely talk to... I'll definitely talk to John at the commercial break.
It'd be funny if everybody just started calling up with criticism of the show in the middle of the second. I think you should change the beginning. I don't like the beginning part.
Get the energy up, you guys. Come on.
We're supposed to be celebrating good times.
First time caller, but I've been criticizing you for years.
I absolutely, absolutely am excited this weekend to go see Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Ooh.
This one looks so good. It's that book from my childhood. It was like an edgy book. It was banned in so many different places. And it started in the 80s when I was a teenager, according to Scott Maxwell. And, of course, I was reading this, and this one was so much scarier than the other books. Now, here's the thing I don't know. I haven't read Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark as an adult. Maybe I was just a kid and it was scary, or maybe it's still scary to this day. One thing is for sure. I thought you were doing that live.
Mm-mm.
One thing is for sure. the illustrations with this. Have you seen the illustrations from Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
Like from the book or
yeah.
the movie?
Not. From the book. The movie does a good job of turning that into super creepy stuff. But the illustrations from this made everything so, so cool. And you got Guillermo del Toro. He's put this together, and I think he's like the perfect fit for something like this.
Oh, 1,000%. And that means it's going to be terrifying.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and some of the songs are coming out from this. Have you heard anything from the soundtrack yet?
To be honest with you, I just know the title of the book. I never read them.
I read
Goosebumps, and I watched Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Goosebumps is good, but it's campy. This was like not even trying to be campy. It was scary as hell. And that's what they were trying to get to. And some of the music sounds pretty cool, though. This is Lana Del Rey. It's like super creepy stuff. Which she kind of has that eerie voice anyway.
When I look out my window.
Oh, I like this.
Just having a cool voice like that.
Sights to see. And when I look in my window. So many different people to be.
It's beautiful, but it's also kind of eerie and scary.
Strange,
like it.
So strange. It's very strange to me.
So this is coming out this weekend.
You got to pick
I love that. A couple of the earlier reviewers were like, I think they left the end opening to maybe make way for a sequel. Oh, yeah? You think so?
Okay, so... Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, right?
Yeah.
It's all little stories, so that's mm-hmm. how the movie's going to be? No, like, beginning, middle, end?
I don't know how they're going to loop them all together. I think they're going to turn it into something that makes for, one continuous story. And, look, I just know it's going to be scary. It looks freaky, and it looks damn good. And quickly, bad news for about 1.5 million people. If you use that threesome app out there,
what?
There's a threesome app called ThreeFun, and I tried to look up ThreeFun. It turns out there is also a Cambodian music act by the name of ThreeFun, and they take up all the YouTube links for this. But there has been a leak of sensitive information of 1.5 million users of ThreeFun, where people would sign on and they would find somebody else for a threesome, and they said. Here's what's leaked. Personal information such as birthdays, gender, and geographic coordinates. Ooh,
okay.
Right down to that. It's fairly easy to work out who and where a specific user is. And they're saying they found people from the White House to...
No way.
Yes, to Hollywood, to all sorts of people in between. None of those people have been named yet.
I'm impressed that there is an app solely dedicated to threesomes. I thought maybe that was just something you wrote in your Grindr or Tinder bio. But could you imagine that you and your partner are looking for that threesome partner? They show up and it's like Leo DiCaprio or a Sandra Bullock. Or just like a really terrible C-list celebrity.
That would be cool. Yeah, I'd be like, I will tell no one. I will keep this secret.
Donnie Wahlberg.
Hold it to the grave.
Are you kidding? I would tell everybody.
Yeah. You'd be in the middle of it, Facebooking. Yeah. You guys won't believe what I'm doing right now.
I'm doing a Wahlberg.
We'll get to so many stories today.
I would just try to find reasons to throw it in conversation. They were like, oh my gosh. You're in a business meeting and somebody comes up with something and like, oh, that idea is going to sink like the Titanic. And I go, speaking of Titanic, I banged Leonardo DiCaprio.
When we come back, we'll get to two odd situations that played out overnight that are worth talking about. And one involves a man just walking into a Walmart and getting incredibly weird. What happened? Those details. Plus, your dispatches are next. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
It's all
real.
The biggest stories of the day in all their glory and insanity.
You're listening to the News Junkie.
And I say colors when I hear your voice. Grab your wings and put gravity on trial. I say colors, I don't fear the truth.
You know, yesterday we talked about the next big generation, Generation Alpha. You got the Gen X, you got the Millennials, you got Gen Z or iGen, and then you've got the next generation. When Gen Z has kids, they're already doing this and they're growing up now. And that's Generation Alpha. And these kids are very, very, very good with technology. No doubt about that. But I think we should not suggest that Gen Z isn't fantastic with technology. In fact, they've come up with a new way to sext. And I think it's, maybe we're getting bored of just regular sexting and just regular sending dirty photos to one another. But it is clever as hell. There is one woman named Monica Escalante who has started this. And she says, I like to send sexy photos to guys, and I like to get them back, but I find it to be boring just to send regular ones. So she sends sexy photos as sliding puzzle photos, and then when you get your photo of her booty or whatever it is she's sending, you have to slide everything around.
Oh, that's fun.
You got to do some work, and there's a little bit of a challenge to get your booty pic. And she started this, and now it's starting to catch on. The sexy pic is all scrambled up for the person to see, but they have to solve a sliding puzzle. And if you suck at puzzles, or if you're just really excited at the moment, you might be a little frustrated with this. At just 18 years old, she said, sending him booty pics is puzzles right now. The tweet immediately went viral. She uses a sliding puzzle app that takes your photos and creates sliding puzzles. You text the puzzle photos, and the person spends 10 minutes trying to reassemble the jumbled pic. Unfortunately, some recipients said the sexy puzzle didn't have the desire or some recipients didn't have the desire or ambition to solve the sexy puzzle. Well, I mean, come on, man. If somebody sends you a sexy puzzle, you might as well spend a couple of minutes. Those slide puzzles are a bitch, though. I mean, yeah. I can get hung up on those things for a while.
Just when you think it's, you're almost there. There's a foot where the ear should be. But everything else is good, but like I have no idea how that even happened.
You'll spend 10 minutes doing a slide puzzle and the reveal is, oh, it's the Sphinx. Wow, great. Or, oh, it's Julia Roberts. Wow, fantastic. What if it was a booty pic? I mean, it's going to make you slide around a bit faster in the reveal.
Yeah, it is.
Reveal will be much, much more exciting. There is a man down in Port St. Lucie. What are you doing, buddy? Obviously, this week has been kind of these incidents over the weekend cast a pall over some of the stuff that's been happening this week. And I'm talking about the shootings in El Paso and then in Ohio as well. And these two shootings have people on edge about any kind of public incident right now. And why somebody would do what this guy did, I just don't know. I don't know if you guys have heard this story. But somehow this guy, this particular guy, I guess, what are you going to charge him with? But he was not charged. He walked into a Walmart this week and asked for a gun that could kill 200 people. Jesus. He goes up and he goes, hey, can I get a gun? I want a gun. I want to kill 200 people. And the Walmart person's like, what? Get out of here. What are you talking about? And he said, I was doing it to prove a point. Like, he's an anti-gun violence advocate. I don't know if there are gun violence advocates, but he's an anti-gun violence advocate. And he says, I'm in a Walmart a few days after El Paso, and I'm seeing a white nationalist-looking guy, purchase a gun, and I got mad. And he said he went up and started to try to prove a point and say, can you sell me anything or a gun or whatever that would kill 200 people? The clerk said, that's not funny. And he said, I know. Can you sell me anything that will kill 200 people? The clerk obviously calls the police,
right.
Goes and gets this guy, and invests. If you want to make points, wow, make your political points or make your gun violence points in a way that's not anywhere resembling this. The local news outlet caught up with him. Let's see what he said when they got their mics around him.
A man asked a Walmart store clerk about the best weapon to kill 200 people. WPTV News Channel 5's Matt Szczesny spoke with police and the man who was tracked down just today. Matt?
Matt?
Yeah, Shannon, it turns out that the man police were looking for turned out not to be considered a threat. And when we tracked the man down, he says he's just politically active and he was really angry.
Well, be politically active and be angry. Don't be stupid.
Is this the guy with the lazy eye?
I don't know. Does he? Phil Addy is his name?
I saw it this morning because there have been like Walmart, something going on over there, man.
Yeah, there's another story I've got next about another.
Golf cart?
Yeah, no, that's a different one too. Yeah, they had a lot of Walmart stories today just in general.
It all started with the girl that pee-peed on the potatoes.
Yeah, they haven't had a good run here. And a lot of people are starting to target Walmart for their guns. Walmart's actually made a lot of changes. Walmart only sells rifles, like mostly like hunting-style rifles.
Right.
And they don't sell handguns, and they you can't buy even a rifle unless you're 21, which usually it's 18. They push that up to 21, and it's like in the sporting section. So, I mean, I think it's just the reason why people target Walmart is because Walmart is, if not the biggest, one of the biggest gun sales outlets in the United States, just because they have so many stores, you know, and they're everywhere. So people go in this, but they're not selling these kinds of guns that are often used for crimes like this. So I'm not sure why they're being specifically targeted other than just to go after the big dog that's selling guns. So they met up with this guy and talked to him about what he did.
The recent mass shootings.
Yes, what I did last night in Walmart was in poor taste.
Phil Addy says he was trying to send a message. He's the man Port St. Lucie police had been looking for since he walked into this Walmart Wednesday night and asked a clerk about the best gun to kill 200 people.
I just got mad. I mean, I was buying a hairdryer for my mom, and I saw a white nationalist-looking guy purchasing
what does that
gun
even
at a
mean?
Walmart. And I lost it. I just was mad.
Yeah, this guy's wrapped up in the whole thing. Don't be an idiot. Don't be an idiot. Don't go in there asking about weapons to kill people. We've got enough problems right now that we don't need that. This is the story I thought you were talking about. This one is so weird. I don't know exactly why this person did this. I don't know what the hell was going on. But there was another Walmart in Missouri. And
jeez, Walmart.
A man carrying a rifle and wearing body armor, and he had like 100 rounds of ammunition on him, just walks into the Walmart store and just starts walking around. And everybody in the store is like looking, freaking out, panicking. I don't know if he was trying to like do an open carry statement, which, by the way, is so uncool. Uncool for you to do that.
And everyone who does it, like, you know what you're doing. And it's like they'll say it's a statement. It's to prove, it's to show that, you know, I'm a citizen and this is what I can do. Uh-huh. But you're just trying to start trouble. You're just trying to scare people.
And you don't care that there's going to be families and kids in this. He's got military fatigues on. I don't know why he did it. I don't know if maybe he might have been trying to shoot the place up. But people start freaking out. The manager runs over, pulls the fire alarm. This guy is just walking through the Walmart, and he walks out one of the emergency exits, and there he finds an off-duty firefighter with a gun pointed directly at him and goes,
really?
Don't move an inch. And he made the guy stay right there until the police arrived so that they could talk to him. So, I mean, all hell is breaking loose. I mean, these are just weird incidents. And sometimes we should do more research. There should be more focus when there are stories like this on all the copycat stuff that happens afterwards. Don't know what this guy was doing. Don't know what his motivation was just yet. But if that was, and I'm just saying, I don't care where you fall on this issue. If that was some sort of open carry statement, that stuff has got to stop. You have the right to do certain things. It doesn't mean you should scare the hell out of people. But that doesn't mean that was what he was going for. All right, let's go to your dispatches. Here is Juan Shawson with a dispatch.
So from the show yesterday, I decided to sit down and speak with my wife, Juanita Shawson, about my usage of recyclable bags when I grocery shop. And basically, she's leaving me because I've come out as gay. So appreciate you guys with that story, and my life is Juanita-less.
Yeah, I mean, you learn things when you hear stories like that, that they said a study said that a percentage of men won't use the recyclable or reusable shopping bags because they think it makes them gay. Not a lot of logic there. Here's Delan Nomad with a dispatch.
Hey, what's up, guys? You guys have me rolling over here thinking about Trump sweating.
Oh, my God.
And him looking over at his guys and saying, I need a fan in Japan. Woo! Happy Friday.
We were talking about what the reporter should have done to really just milk this even more. If you missed this, Donald Trump was doing an event, just a speech, like you know, gaggle of reporters are around, and he's talking to these reporters, and his face is just melting. He's sweating like crazy.
I'm surprised
flying everywhere.
We were not seeing like the streaks that you will see when people put on like foundation and stuff, because he looks very tan and orange today, especially maybe it's the light. And it was like there were tiny little sprinklers under his hair.
It was a lot.
Just letting down water, waterfall of sweat.
It was a lot. And he's sitting there, and Celia was saying, you got to ask him questions that you know he can't answer very quickly. Just like, anything.
President Trump.
Yes.
How's the military doing?
Just really open.
Greatest military.
And you got,
we've got tremendous guns, tanks and bombs, bigger bombs than anybody else.
Or you just tell him, you're like, hey, did you hear what this other politician said about you? And you drop some fake ass on.
President Trump, Nancy Pelosi says you're a giant pussy.
It's like, wait a second.
President Trump, why are you sweating so profusely?
Oh, sheets.
You alien.
And sheets of sweat coming off.
Just does the dog shake eventually.
Let's go over to Brofro with a dispatch.
You think you guys are having a bad day? It's National S'mores Day, and they roll around the cart with s'mores on it, but they're Pop-Tart s'mores.
What's wrong with those?
And who the hell created this thing? It looks like a slathered mess on top of a Pop-Tart.
They're not bad.
I sent a photo of it. Maybe
never
you want to post that.
Pop-Tart?
It's disgusting.
What are you so turned off
day,
by?
Guys.
I like how your day is bad because you encountered a s'mores Pop-Tart.
That's the only Pop-Tart I'll eat.
They're good.
Cold, too.
The regular ones, I didn't even know for a while when I was a little kid because we never did this. I didn't even know you were supposed to put them in the toaster for a while. Like, I would just take them out of the box and rip open that silver thing.
I hardly ever put them in the toaster.
Just go for it.
It was in the commercial.
I wasn't watching the commercials, I guess. I just went for the strawberry Pop-Tarts, and you know what I would do that made me feel like ultimate fat kid? I would open that silver sheath around the Pop-Tart and just bite at both of them. Not even separate the two Pop-Tarts.
But you bit into string cheese, too, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Just go right for it.
Savage.
You know what I do with that drives Courtney positively mad? If I'm sick and I have cough drops, I have a mental glitch, a hang up, where if I put a cough drop in my mouth, I can't just sit there and like savor it and let it do its thing. Within 3 seconds, I chomp down on it and
that's
I eat it.
That's not the point of it. It's supposed to coat your throat.
I'm getting nothing out of it. I put it in my mouth and I'm like, and I just eat all the rest of the shards.
It's candy. You're eating candy.
Yes, basically, I can't train myself to not do it. Hmm. It happens every single time. Here is Laying Down the Law with a dispatch.
Sean, what are you doing? It's supposed to be Happy Friday, mm-hmm. and you start the show with a death of a dog and the alligator who ate him story? Oh, my God. Happy Friday, right? I want to change your starter. Wiggle, wiggle.
Fair enough, Laying Down the Law. Let's do one more. Here's Tuck Frump with a dispatch.
Testing, testing.
Yep.
1, 2, mic check, testing, testing, yep. 1, 2.
Loud and clear.
Guess what, everybody?
What?
If you just heard this dispatch, then today's show is, in fact, live.
Yep.
Oh. If you didn't hear today's dispatch, then that means it's pre-recorded. But if you didn't hear today's dispatch, then how would you know?
How about this? I'm going to save that dispatch.
Yeah, I was just going to say you need to save that dispatch.
When we do a fake live show, nobody will ever, ever pick up on this. When we come back, it is time to debut the latest, greatest segment on this show. This is going to revolutionize radio as we know it. There are many This Week In segments on this show. There's a Florida one or something, and then
Florida one or something.
Lots of other ones, but this is a gem. It's the greatest This Week In segment that's ever been done on this show. And when we come back, This Week in the Kenyan Parliament.
What?
Trust me, it'll knock your socks off.
How dare you?
You can't boo me before I do it.
With this tease.
If you want to boo me while I'm doing it,
okay.
Acceptable.
This doesn't sound like it's worthy of carrying the This Weekend brand.
Well, what are you talking about? Well, let me at least do this before you get all judgy about things. When we come back, and you got to hear the Kenyan song I got, because I wanted to kind of paint a picture, get a little background going, so I got a a Kenyan
this
song.
This sounds like it has the potential to be super racist.
No, it's a real Kenya song, and these are real Kenya stories. And
Kenya, nothing
racist about it, but I think people will enjoy this brand new segment. Coming up next, plus your dispatches from the News Junkie app. It is the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio Sports Soccer. Orlando City hits the Great White North to take on Toronto FC tomorrow. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. on our sister station, FM 96.9 The Game, AM 740, and iHeartRadio.
Law firm.
Real Radio. 104.1.
Because the newspapers don't come with cliff notes or potentially offensive accents. This is the News Junkie.
Glad you're here. This is going to be memorable. We could just take this after the segment's over and just put it on a CD. Do we still have those around here?
I took the last full pack of blank CDs.
Perfect.
Right before they threw them away.
We'll put it on a CD and just ship it right over to the Broadcast Hall of Fame. Just bring it right in there. They should have, you know, some red carpet situation ready, velvet ropes. And an area to place this.
What you're saying is this is going to be so monumental that I can take the recording of it and just load our log with it, and we could just say goodbye for the day.
Load that log.
Yeah, probably. That could probably happen because this changes radio forever. This is the greatest This Weekend segment ever done.
Okay, I did have one plan for later.
This is the greatest This Weekend segment right now. It's This Week in the Kenyan Parliament, ladies and gentlemen. And I know what you're thinking. What could possibly be happening? And I haven't even started, C-Lane. You can't fall asleep before I've even started.
That snoring sound, if we put a little bit of effect, I think you could be the new MGM lion.
Do that again. This is a real growl.
It's
going deep in there.
Got some bass.
It sounds like
guttural.
The exhaust from like a Honda Accord or something. Just like
oh my gosh, I'm a little more high class than you. You call me a sedan.
Mercedes, 2019.
Yeah, Mercedes Benz. Does
Thank
that make
you.
It this is going to spice things up.
If my Mercedes sounded like that, I think it would be time to take it in.
This is going to spice things up because I've got a Kenya song here, and I think it will provide the aura and background that is needed for This Week in Kenyan Parliament. This is a song that's very popular in Kenya. It's called Jambo Bwana.
Jambo.
It's a good one.
Jambo Bwana.
Should take you to that Kenyan headspace while we learn about the Kenyan parliament. Listen to this part. It really has Hakuna Matata in it. And this week, in the Kenyan parliament, a farting politician shut down a session of parliament in Kenya as members blamed each other for the offending smell. A fight broke out in Homa Bay County Assembly on Wednesday after one lawmaker accused a colleague of, quote, polluting the air, unquote. The MP in question denied the claims, and you know what that means. If you denied it, you supplied it.
Yeah.
And he said, I cannot
Whoever
do...
Whoever made the rhyme did the crime.
I cannot do such a thing in front of my colleagues, he said. The speaker hurriedly ordered air fresheners to be brought to the chamber to tackle the problem. This is like a next level smell.
Seriously, and that's why I think it's really important that people don't hold in their farts.
You gotta let it out.
Because it's stuff like this that, you know, reeks so bad because that guy let it marinate probably for 48 hours before truly letting it out.
They're saying, get anything you can. Get whatever flavor air freshener flavor. A scent might work better. You will find in any office.
Well, they were probably tasting this fart. It was so bad. So
whether it's vanilla or strawberry, the speaker demanded, let the sergeant spray the air with air fresheners to make it pleasant in here. The proceedings were interrupted for 10 minutes as the speaker ruled that, quote, we cannot continue sitting in an environment that smells this bad. That is pretty damn serious. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I've ever done that much damage, but this guy, you should almost be proud that you were able to have that big of an impact.
I would say I almost had that, not necessarily to the point where people were Well, actually, no. People were calling me out.
Wait, you did this in public, and people were calling you out.
No, it was on an airplane.
Oh, that's where it always happens.
And like, I didn't have any other choice. I did have a choice to not eat New England clam chowder every day that I was in Boston.
Oh, it's too late for that.
And there I was, like, we reached 50,000 miles in the air, and I was everything.
You guys were up there.
Right? Is 50,000 miles too high? Too low?
Well, 35,000 feet or so would probably be.
I would reckon to say 50,000 is the cruising height.
50,000 miles would be like way up into space.
Feet. You're right. I said miles.
Like, there'd be satellites floating
and
around.
And this
you.
Is why I said we should have the day off. But, anyways, I let one silent and I watched as everybody traveled and everyone was affected by it as it made its way towards the front of the plane.
Just wave by wave.
50,000 miles in the air.
It starts knocking things out. It was a hot day already and they've been fanning themselves with sheets of paper to keep cool. But it was must have been pretty bad.
I can't fart on a plane.
No?
I mean...
Well, you mean you're just not physically able
no,
to?
No, I'm sure I'm physically able to, but if I sleep on a plane, I'm already obnoxious enough. There's going to be some noise.
What, is it the snoring?
Yeah. So I can't add farts to that.
But
I got to pick one.
Give me that snore again. I'm not going to hear that on a plane. With all that noise,
that's
you know,
not. But that's not what my snoring sounds like. We've heard my snoring before.
Oh yeah, we've recorded it before. I don't think
I know. I accidentally recorded it and sent it to somebody.
wasn't it the guy who
Marty McFly?
Yeah, Marty McFly.
The guy who's a Marty McFly impersonator. You accidentally called him. This is it. That's pretty loud, but I think all the plane noise would drown that out. Mm. Oh, you have experience with this.
I mean, the last time I slept on a plane that I remember on my way to New Orleans, or it was just my connection in Atlanta, there was a kid next to me, and he's like, we're here. And I was like, oh, did I fall asleep? And he's like, yeah. And the way he was laughing, I was like, so I was snoring. He's like, it was pretty funny.
Yeah. He made probably 7 Instagram videos, like a TikTok thing, all when
he was smart, he would have.
I'm sorry. I was in the middle of an epic segment, please. This week in Kenyan Parliament. Whoa! Next to tomatoes going to be thrown at me here. Suck! Hey! The second story was a little later on in the week after this fart ripped
after
through
fart
things.
Gate?
Yeah, after Fartgate of the Kenyan Parliament. Things once again went into uproar status. A woman, now brace yourself for impact here.
Oh my God. It's still like, we've heard it so many times, but so still gross. So bad.
If you don't know what that is, you don't want to know what that is. You just don't need to know. A woman in the Kenyan parliament had the nerve to walk in with her baby. Literally.
C-Lane, what 80s radio show did you get that sound from?
You suck! You got a Waka Waka over there, too?
Everyone in this room is now dumber.
Let me get to this so you know it was a real thing. This is from an actual Kenyan news report.
A 5-month-old baby became the uninvited guest in parliament when her mother, Kwale woman representative Zulekha Hassan, showed up at the chambers with the young one. The young guest interrupted proceedings with Majority Leader Aden Duale, terming it as gross indiscipline. Mail Mendo reports on Zulekha Hassan's decision that has caused a stir amongst Kenyans at large.
Yeah, everybody's just so upset by this.
He sounds like Mo Money. That's all I took from that.
that a woman brought in a baby to the Kenyan parliament.
The Honorable Zulekha, kindly withdraw with decorum.
Wednesday morning, drama inside parliament's chambers ensuing right after Kwale County woman representative Zulekha Hassan walked in with her baby.
No!
Why is this a big deal?
The
male members of parliament would have none of it.
All the guys in there were like, that's a baby! No babies in here. It's enough we let you women in here in parliament.
Oh, my God.
And they all just started screaming and, like, banging the gavel, and chaos breaks out again, just like the fart situation.
The poor baby.
It was quite a scene. And that's it for this week in Kenyan parliament. Thank
Jumbo.
You. Thank you.
Jumbo.
Thank you. Everybody's clapping.
I do enjoy the song.
I like the Hakuna Matata part. That was my absolute favorite piece of that. I do have one more story for you,
buddy. The part that you just cut off.
It's not. It's not. Do you want? I'm sorry. Do you, I want me to leave?
Jumbo
get out of here. I want to be in Kenya to sing this. And I want to sing Africa by Toto in Africa. In the rain. There it is. Love that little bass riff on the Casio keyboard. This story I thought was impressive until I got into the details. Man hospitalized after a marathon karaoke session leaves him with a collapsed lung. And I go, wow, man, this dude must have really been rocking it out. And he's on like a marathon karaoke session. What is he, like 2 days in? You know, he's still going. And so I start reading the details. This is from Newsweek. They say, a man who said he belted out not one, not two, but 10 karaoke tunes in a row. That doesn't seem like that many.
No.
Was admitted to the hospital in China with a collapsed lung. An enthusiastic karaoke singer has been identified as a 65-year-old with the surname Wang.
Mm-hmm.
So Wang was rocking out. And as Wang is doing all these karaoke tunes, a lot of them were high-pitched. And eventually, it started to have an impact on him. And he had a collapsed lung. He felt a pain in his left lung and then, you know, all of a sudden,
wow,
completely fell out. There was an interview done with one of the Chinese newspapers that has gotten millions of views. I'm not going to play it for you because you won't understand it.
Did he not have a microphone or something? Was he like...
He was just singing the high notes. And he went on in this karaoke session he was on. I just thought it would be hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, I sing more than 10 songs in a row and play guitar.
I mean,
it's nothing.
It's probably because he had a condition prior to that.
He may
the
have.
Headlines say karaoke.
Karaoke collapsed lung is what everybody's putting out there. Just for the record, a pneumothorax occurs when air leaks into the space between your lung and the chest wall. This air pushes on the outside of your lung and makes it collapse. You don't want one of these. A pneumothorax can be caused by a blunt or penetrating chest injury, medical procedures, or damage from underlying lung disease, or it may occur for no obvious reason. It's always nice to read that part. Always nice. Or it could just happen out of the blue.
Did they leave out the part that this was a boxing karaoke night?
No.
Where you sing songs and just punch each other in the chest?
Just singing the high notes, this guy ends up with a collapsed lung. So just remember that. You can stop at 9 songs, 8 songs, 7 songs, but if you go all the way to 10 songs, it's going to end with a collapsed lung every time. Back.
You're so dramatic.
I don't know any other way. There was probably a lot of ways.
It's something that we've ruined for him because he has to come to his weekend pause.
He does.
Don't you expose what I'm doing.
Everyone knows what you're doing. Like, why does he slow down like that?
People aren't stupid.
Don't you dare expose what's happening.
Because, I'm just waiting.
You're gonna...
The timer is running out, and I'm going to get and nail this ending.
And then Celia and I will
back in just a minute.
We'll go real quick, and we'll ruin that time by just saying something that makes no sense.
Oh,
last
God.
Word, back in a little bit.
T-Sweat.
I'm just going to end it right there. Now that's where the actual segment will end. Back in a moment with a really insane way to get rid of of your debt. That's true. You cut that up. Get rid of all of your debt in a really insane way when you hear the story that's coming up next. Pretty unbelievable. And it's on the way. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Take a break from the flame war. Your racist brother-in-law isn't going anywhere. Real Radio Orlando on station. Documenting and contributing to the decline in American culture. This is the News Junkie.
Oh, my God. I mean, I don't even think I'm exaggerating here. And if you think I'm prone to do that, try me on this one. I think we're about to put the most insane thing on See It Now that we've ever put up there.
This is the second worst thing that I've ever put up.
Yeah.
And the worst thing we had to take down.
C-Lane's reaction to this, Sabrina, was, and I had already seen the video. I was like, hey, let's put this up. I just want people to see the reality of this. His reaction was, he almost spun right out of his chair as he was watching this video. And, I mean, it's just unbelievable. It shows you a lot of things, but I don't know, maybe just... I don't know if people are ready to see this, but if you are, go for it. I talked about this story this week in Southern California where some guy, and he was like a bad dude. I think he's been in and out of prison 14 times or something. He was a former gang member. This is one of those people that's just bad, evil, personified, right? Like, you can't fix it. You will not get through to this human. No scared straight program. Nothing like that will work. This guy went around and was engaging in various attacks in California, like was stabbing people. That was his thing, if you remember this story at all.
From this week, right?
Yeah, have you seen the video of this?
No.
Scariest thing I've seen in a very long time. Like,
should I watch it?
I mean, I think you should, maybe. But it's up on See It Now. And just all the warnings in the world. This guy, it happened on Wednesday. At 6 p.m., he goes into this insurance agency store. It's called Best One Insurance Agency in Garden Grove, California. This woman is sitting there doing her job, just, you know, average day. Like, it's just your day right now. Sitting there doing her job, shuffling paperwork, and in comes this man in a black hoodie. And the guy initially looks like he's going to kind of sit down across from her and engage in a conversation, maybe ask about insurance or... And very quickly, it takes a twist, and this dude has two, are they butcher knives?
I can't tell.
He has two giant knives, and just for no reason whatsoever, starts going at it. Just going at this poor woman, and it was all captured on the security footage from this place, and it is damn near the most frightening thing I've seen in my life. So this is only for those folks who have heard that and are fully aware of what they're getting into, but it's up on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. It's the reality of life and these things that happen from time to time. And you know, there you go. I mean, take a look at that if you're interested in the news side of it and seeing what's going on, but absolutely wild to see. And again, I'm not exaggerating. One of the scariest things I've seen in quite some time. This, however, will clear all of that out. For those of you frightened by the previous story.
Oh, my God.
You just watched it?
Yes.
How insane is that? I mean, that's reality.
Oh, my God.
That is the craziest.
Did this woman die?
I think she might have. He did kill three or four people.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know if she made it or not, but that is just the most. That's just violence, right? I mean, it's just. Whew.
Evil.
It's insane.
How anybody could ever do that is beyond me. But it's up for those of you who want to see. Exactly how bad it gets out there. And the See It Now section of the News Junkie app or Facebook.com/The News Junkie. This is good news. Good news. All we have to do, everybody, is wait it out. All we have to do is wait it out. Imagine this. I don't know if you have any debt piling up, just hovering over you, like so many people do in this country. Imagine you bought yourself you were qualified and you got yourself a Visa card. Two companies did this. Marriott Rewards, they have a Premier Visa, and Amazon.ca Rewards Visa, right? These are two different options that you could have, and they were both done by Chase Bank. And Chase Bank gave out to all these Canadians, here's your credit cards, spend away. And everybody did. You know, you give them the money, they spend that money that they don't actually have, and they end up thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars and even more in debt. Good news for you, it's all gone.
What do you mean?
U.S.-based Chase Bank is forgiving all outstanding debt owed by users of two credit cards, the Amazon.ca Rewards Visa and the Marriott Rewards Premier Visa. The bank retired both cards last year, and it is wiping out cardholders' debt to complete its exit from the Canadian credit card market. So Chase Bank wanted to get out of the Canadian credit card market, and to do that, they have to clear up everything. And these people were just sitting there paying that monthly minimum every month. They were like, this might happen. This one guy, $6,157 in credit card debt. Gone. Just completely gone. They started wiping out everybody who had one of those cards who owed any money.
In Canada.
What about? Unfortunately, we're going to have to wait for the same situation here. But after 13 years in the Canadian market, they folded those Visa cards last year. And now anybody who had any debt on them, gone. That would just be absolutely incredible.
Hell yeah.
It didn't happen to me, though, unfortunately.
I would wish I had more debt, but I have a very low limit on my credit card.
You would have wished you just ran it all the way, full tilt.
Oh, absolutely.
As much as you could. Oh, what a great... And now to celebrate, get another credit card and run that one up and hope for the best. Roll the dice twice here.
Yeah.
Let's go to some dispatches. Here's Invisible Man 300 with a dispatch. Oh, I'm sorry. Here's Invisible Man with his 300th dispatch. Congratulations, sir.
I'm up here, sweat for my country. And, you know, I don't like to sweat. Never did.
I hope the other 299 were much better than that.
I don't like mosquitoes.
He's a volume kind of guy.
I don't like those mosquitoes.
Quantity, not quality, is what Invisible Man is going for. Here's Zordon.
Hey, good morning, News Junkies.
Hey there.
We're talking about Ultimate Fat Kid stuff. I do love me a good peanut butter, banana, and mayonnaise sandwich.
Like Elvis.
I know I hear the groans, but I'm telling you, the peanut butter and banana is good, but that mayonnaise throws it over the edge.
Really?
I used to have like a mayonnaise like thing when back in my younger days when I was
thing.
A little bit heavier. I would just take deli, you know, like deli ham or turkey, whatever, wrap cheese around it, and just dunk it right in the mayonnaise.
Bam! Man.
Really, the ham and turkey was just an excuse to just slather on as much mayonnaise as I could. I also used to take ketchup packets and just suck the ketchup out. That was really just more for the shock value, but I still like ketchup. Anyways.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, man, I want some mayonnaise right now.
A man.
Have a good day.
Peace. Who likes mayonnaise.
I hate it. I do hate it, but
you'll eat garlic aioli.
I've talked about this before on the show. I love a banana with salt all over it. I don't know why.
I've had peanut butter and banana, and there's salt and peanut butter, but...
Just take a banana, put, rock salt on it, and eat the banana.
Okay, well, enjoy that while you can, because your doctor's going to tell you to stop doing that.
Probably. So, step away. I haven't had one in years and years and years and years and years, but I used to, whenever I had a banana, I was like, now a banana's boring without salt on it. I would just douse it.
I mean, you are... combating the elevated blood pressure of the salt element with the potassium of the banana element.
I don't even think I'm getting to net zero there. I think it's still probably really, really bad for me.
That's what net zero means.
Here is King Rob with a dispatch.
Happy Friday, guys.
Hey.
King Rob reporting. Just commenting on the little Pop-Tart segment that just came through in the last dispatch. First of all, that guy is a loon.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all,
those are good.
It's called Pop-Tart. Because it pops out of the toaster, Sean.
I know.
I just help you out with that little informational tidbit. Have a great one.
I know now, but I wish I didn't know, because even though the first couple of years I ate Pop-Tarts, I just went right for them, never put them in the toaster. Then when I did put them in the toaster, we had that incident where I almost burned the house down because our toaster was so old. It wasn't one of the ones that would just pop up. You know, like this thing's been in there too long, and the toast comes up. I just left them in there, and I came back out. And I smelled smoke, and in the entire bottom of the cabinets that the toaster was under was just on fire. The fire's crawling up the wall. So I wasn't allowed to use it much after that. Uh-huh. You're not ready for this, Sean. Here's Nurse Jan with a dispatch.
So, Sean, you were talking about the sliding puzzles, and you totally said Julia Roberts.
I know.
Why can't you just admit how much you love her? How fond you are of her.
I'm not.
It's silly that you won't just come right out and say it. I mean, let's just clear the air. How many times have you watched Pretty Woman?
Okay? I've seen it like maybe 5 times.
We love you. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Thank you, Nurse Chad. Not an irrational number of times, maybe 5 times. And I've confused her with Sandra Bullock on the daily. Like, I do this too frequently. So that there's no way that I'm a fan of her. I'm not even going to say her name anymore. Here's Eddie Ray with a dispatch.
So C-Link gets a chance to brag about a fake threesome he hasn't had, and he comes up with, I had sex with Leonardo DiCaprio.
you did have a lot of options there. Went right.
But no, we had already, Sabrina brought up DiCaprio.
And I think we all agree Regardless of our sexual orientations, we would all bang Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
I mean,
thank you.
Be a fool not to.
Over the pants stuff.
Just be a fool not to engage in it. Here's
now John Mayer, on the other hand. He's getting the full Monty.
Would you creepily sing Your Body is a Wonderland to him?
Your body is a wonderland.
I mean, that seems like it's been overdone.
Well, that's his whole thing. That's what he was complaining about, is that he doesn't want to have sex with fans because they kept asking him to sing post and mid-coitus.
Oh, God.
Is that real?
Yes. Google it.
Yeah, I remember where that came up. Here is Skip a Style with a Dispatch.
Jesus Christ, Sabrina.
What?
You're paying. How much other stuff are you getting done to your car? Because at this point, it literally would have been cheaper for you to drive all the way to Jacksonville and let me do it. I mean, God,
everyone come out of the woodworks now.
That is a whole lot.
The starter? How much? Anyway, $600?
Well, you
it's
know.
Friday, man. People love you. You guys, cheer up. It'll be okay.
I know.
Everybody listening loves you guys.
I hope so. At least a couple of them, maybe.
I love how everyone loves me enough to, you know, all of a sudden become mechanics after I've already agreed and signed off and the car is being worked on as I speak. Now, I have the battery replaced plus the starter. So yeah. A total around $580. Is that too much?
I don't know about a starter.
I don't know about cars. I had asked one person, and they're like, that's actually pretty close to what I would have paid.
A battery, as long as you have the core charge, should be like, yeah, maybe $80, $100, maybe a little less than that, I think.
And the starter, if it's not working, will drain that new battery. Therefore, I need the starter.
The starter, I don't know. I've never had to replace a starter in a car. Everything
you
else.
You just got a new car?
What? No. Good God. I'm talking about when I was so poor, I couldn't afford to bring the car to the mechanic. I had to do all this stuff myself. And I should not have been driving around in that car. I did disc brakes. I did all kinds of stuff. Which
really?
Mechanics are going to go, oh, that's easy as hell. Yeah, but then I was relying on my disc brakes to stop the vehicle. And somehow it worked. I could do a bunch of stuff on cars, but I never did a starter. Never. So I don't know. Maybe that's a good deal. Maybe it's a bad deal.
It's too late now.
Hard to say. When we come back, there is a flight attendant who is in big, big trouble, ma'am. And we'll find out exactly what she did next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Oh, that's all.
High diving face first into the world's most viral newsroom. This is the News Junkie.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're there. This is a big moment in radio history. This
bigger than this week in Kenyan Parliament?
Are you kidding me? That was nothing. That was just getting started. That was just really getting started. I have before me the greatest segment in the history of radio. The greatest this weekend segment ever done right here in front of me. And it's time to get into things. It's time for This Week in Flight Attendants. Yes, that's right. Everybody try to remain calm. I know you're excited right now. A plane's sole flight attendant, Miss Julianne March, is in some trouble right now. You see, Julianne March wasn't just drunk. She was 0.2 drunk.
Oh, she was lit.
She was loaded up. And she was the only flight attendant on this flight. And right from the get-go, you could tell something was wrong here. The video of this, you got this up on See It Now? See
I'm looking for the raw video. I think I found it.
I want to, if you find the raw video, I want to hear her. I don't know why they didn't do this. There's video of her trying to give the announcements.
Oh, yes.
And she's like, just hammered, and they didn't include it in a lot of the news reports about this. That seems like the gold mine, unless you can't really hear it that well. Julianne March, 49 years old, from Waukesha, Wisconsin, appeared under the influence on a United Express flight from Chicago to South Bend, Indiana. And she's trying to give the announcements, and she's fallen, running into things. She sits down and, like, puts her head in her hands.
How did she get so tanked before this?
I have no idea, but she was just absolutely hammered.
Was it a pretty empty flight?
It wasn't, I don't think. I don't think it was a big flight, but there was a bunch of people, at least you could see in the video. She was leaning against the galley and not making any eye contact with the passengers as they boarded the flight. And then they know, they're like, hey, I think something's wrong with that lady. What's going on there? And she gives her security announcement, blah, 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 just absolutely hammered as she's doing it. And it only gets worse from there. I mean, she ended up getting in some trouble, I'm sure, afterwards. But they said the flight attendant went on to make a slurred security announcement, knocked into passengers walking down the aisle before appearing to pass out in her seat without fastening her seatbelt. She didn't follow her own safety instructions. She didn't respond to any of the calls passengers made to her during the flight and just sat there, passed out until they landed. The pilots were notified, and they told officials on the ground she was arrested, I think, as she was landing here at the airport. Did you find it?
I didn't find the raw one, so I'm just putting up the one we okay. watched that had all the different angles.
All right, on See It Now on the News Junkie app, you'll be able to see her. She's just, ooh, just totally out of it on this plane. And I wish we had the security speech, but we'll find that eventually. But this is This Week in Flight Attendance. So that means there has to be at least two stories. This one is the most unexpected story of the day.
Oh, yeah.
I did not think that this would be something we were talking about. But I guess it is the Steven Slater guy who has made headlines again. Steven Slater, you know that name, C-Lane?
No.
You don't know this guy at all? Let me tell it a different way. Remember the JetBlue flight attendant who went down the emergency slide?
With two beers in his hands after cursing out the entire airplane over the loudspeaker.
Didn't he say something as he went down the slide? Like, F you, I'm out? Or
yes.
I forgot what he said. Steven Slater is his name. And this was a huge incident, if you don't remember, happened in 2010. There was some annoying passenger. He just explodes. He's had enough. He gets it in, into it with the passenger, and then he loses it, screams, and pops some beers and goes down the emergency slide.
And an F-bomb meltdown triggered after a passenger wanted to get her luggage from the overhead compartment as the jet was taxiing. He pled with her to sit, but she smacked him. He asked for an apology. She refused, and that's when he lost it. According to witnesses, Slater got on the intercom and cursed the entire plane before signing off with, I've been in this business for 28 years. I've had it. That's it. He slid down the chute. He hopped on an AirTran, drove home, where he was ultimately arrested.
Yeah.
And he also slid down the slide with two beers in his hands.
Yeah. He went to
just grab the last.
He went to jail for a little while. He got probation for a year. And then he went to substance abuse treatment and some counseling and stuff. He said he was going to write a book. It doesn't look like he did that. But in this case, he moved to Tijuana, Mexico. So he moved to Tijuana, Mexico about a week ago, and now he's missing.
Whoa.
And they have no idea where Steven Slater, that famous flight attendant, is.
Okay, and how wild is this? Today is the 9-year anniversary of him sliding down the slide and quitting.
That's weird. I think he timed this out or something?
I don't know.
They said he posted on Facebook that he was visiting a nearby monument, and California police reportedly have contacted their Mexican counterparts. He's over in Tijuana, and they don't know where the hell he is. He's now vanished. He's missing, and we'll have to keep an eye on him.
That's crazy.
He was an American hero for just a very, very short period of time. We all celebrated him because everybody knows that feeling when you just like to just hit that slide and get right on out of there.
That is a hell of a way to go. That's for sure. I mean, if you're going to quit in style. Quit doing the one thing that you're not supposed to do, and that's without it being an emergency, let that slide out.
I don't remember where this was because it was so long ago now, 9 years. Whenever this came up, I remember them talking on the news about the fee associated with opening that emergency exit and when that slide comes out, and it was some insane amount of money to repack the thing and get it all ready to go.
Okay, so he faced reckless endangerment, criminal mischief, and criminal trespassing. After posting $2,500 bail, he was then additionally required to pay JetBlue $10,000 in restitution Woo. To replace the emergency chute.
Wow. So that means if we could get together in a GoFundMe $10,000, we might be able to bribe one of the airlines to let us do that. Because that would be a blast.
You have to test it out, right?
Yeah. Like you go, hey, when's the last time you tried one of these and did a safety check? And then we can have all the listeners go on a plane and everybody gets to. Could you imagine in your life? In your life, you will probably not, if you're lucky, get to go out the emergency exit on an airplane.
I mean, I'm sure if we pull the right strings, talk to the right people, we can go to the facility where they have to have yearly or bi-yearly training.
Mm-hmm.
Because the flight attendants don't just go through training once. Like, they got to make sure they're up on right. their stuff. So they have to get in a giant pool and simulate a water rescue. And they have to do things like
slide down that thing?
Yeah.
I don't know if it would be as exciting there. I want it to be on the tarmac.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if we got, how many seats are on an airplane? On like a 767?
767.
How many seats on a 767?
Amount of seats.
So got to be more.
Give
than,
it a guess. Go ahead.
110?
181 to 375.
Ooh, okay. So
that's a big swing.
Let's say 300. So if we had 300 listeners who all chipped in money, you would do 10,000 divided by 300. It wouldn't be that much per person. What, it'd be like $300 a piece or something? $300?
$33 a piece.
Wait, is that right?
Yeah.
$33 a piece.
Not bad.
And everybody could slide down the slide and we could pay the fee. All right. If you work for an airline and you're out there and you can make this dream happen,
please,
you will be a hero and we will love you and we'll give you a couple of dollars on the side. Just a few.
There you go.
Let's go to these dispatches. First time ever dispatch from Floridiot. Here it is.
No better way to lose my dispatch virginity by admitting when I was on probation and had a urinalysis in the morning, I always saved my morning fart for the officer that stood next to me.
Oh, you terrible.
While I peed in a cup.
Terrible human being. And now then they're trapped in that tiny little room with you. That's awkward. Here's Mike Uvelli with a dispatch.
You're talking about the credit card story. Man, I thought my credit card debt was cleared on my Amazon Chase card. You had me so happy for a second. I checked my bank account, and I'm still over $1,000 owed.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, it's just for the folks who had that particular card. Here's Ball Death Dealer.
Listening to Sean talk about salted bananas,
so good.
That's like forbidden food territory for me since I'm not allowed to have too much salt or potassium since, you know, no kidneys.
You don't have any kidneys?
All the forbidden food there. Oh, man. Anyways, later.
Guys rocking out with no kidneys? Good for you. I mean, not good for you, probably. Yeah, you lost them or something went wrong. I need more details on that,
sir. Where are my kidneys?
Here is Kyle with a dispatch.
What's up, junkies? So that one guy was talking about the banana peanut butter mayonnaise sandwich.
It's a lot.
Sounds gross, but I kind of feel him on the whole mayonnaise thing because one of my favorite sandwiches is bacon and mayonnaise sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
And I know it sounds gross.
Never had that.
And I was never a fan of mayonnaise either. But that sandwich is the perfect, like, almost like sweet and savory kind of combined. I don't know, man.
You get excited.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic, and you absolutely need to try it. Wiggle, wiggle. Yeah, yeah.
Not with the mayonnaise on it. Just, I can't bring myself to do it. It's some kind of block that I've put on where if I even bite into something with mayonnaise, I'm like, I'm just put off by it. Here's Grounds Guys with a dispatch.
C-Lane, I need you to go over to Sean's booth and just pull his man card or what's left of it.
I don't have one.
Pretty woman 5 times, Sean. I've been married 26 years and my wife has not forced me to watch that thing 5 times.
Buddy, you have no idea.
Dude, you have a crush.
I don't.
Damn it!
If you want to take shots at me and make fun of me, I'll give you an admission you can make fun of. Last night, I watched, I wasn't watching it on purpose, but I accidentally watched, what's that bunny, House Bunny, with Anna Faris?
Yes.
Oof.
Not, doesn't hold up?
That is bad. Now, that is something people should be mocked for watching. That was a bad movie.
It is fun.
Courtney loves it.
There are some good, you know, slapstick moments there. Also, it's kind of close to my heart because a friend of mine from high school banged the butler.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I get to show that off every time someone brings up House Bunny.
Oh, man. That one I should be made fun of for. But the Julia Roberts thing is totally made up. Back in just a second. Don't go anywhere. When we return, the next episode with Sabrina. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Law firm.
Confirming all reports
and some of your biggest peers.
You're listening to the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
Hello there, friend. Thank you for listening to the show. Make sure you have the News Junkie app. That's the best way to follow along, and it's free for you to get, and all you have to do is fire up the App Store on your phone right now. I know you have one. Everybody has a smartphone, even like three-year-old kids. Even if you're 3 years old and you're listening right now, take out your smartphone when mom and dad aren't looking and search for the News Junkie in the App Store. That way you can follow along with the show. You can send in dispatches and become part of the show. And you can join in with other listeners in the chat room, which gets quite insane from time to time as they march to another million lines. I think they're close to like 6 million lines in the chat room. So do it now. Search for the News Junkie in the App Store now. Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV
and you can't possibly keep up with all of it.
Even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
That idea is going to sink like the Titanic. And I go, speaking of Titanic, I banged Leonardo DiCaprio.
Nothing. Weather's nice. It's time for the next episode with Sabrina. Hey.
Are you ready for the next episode?
Yes.
75 years ago, 1944.
That's way back then.
Yes.
Everybody knows that he's
But everybody knew him.
Oh, Smokey the Bear!
Smokey the Bear is right. The Forest Service and Wartime Advertising Council. Are they still together, the Wartime Advertising Council?
I don't know.
They unleashed their hairy new fire prevention spokes thing, Smokey the Bear. A few years later, country singer Eddie Arnold did a song about him called Smokey the Bear.
This is the song?
This is not it. This is Thriftworks, the only remix to Smokey the Bear that I could find on the internet.
The only drum and bass or whatever trap remix to Smokey the Bear.
Yeah, surprisingly.
I'm amazed there is one.
I really need someone to teach me how to make remixes, or you're going to have stuff like this, because that person, Thriftworks,
like
was nice enough to...
There's not like a only you can prevent forest fires. There you go. Cut that.
Did you know about halfway through that was going to come back to haunt you? Mm-hmm.
It is not, but it is. Iowa is going to host its first ever Major League Baseball game next year. Yes, and another first ever newsworthy stories out of Iowa.
Oh,
you feel bad for Iowa?
Sweet people up there.
Tell me something about Iowa.
Iowa, corn, right?
Willie Nelson. He canceled a tour due to breathing problems.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to resume the tour next month, but under a new name, Wheezy Nelson.
Oh, he's getting old.
Wayne Newton is being sued by a woman because his pet monkey allegedly bit her daughter while she was on tour of Newton's Las Vegas mansion in 2017. Now, Newton said it was very unlike his monkey to do that. However, he didn't go unpunished, gentlemen. He was grounded right after Wayne Newton gave his monkey a good spanking.
I knew it.
Amen. But this is actually a real story.
Why? Wayne Newton has a monkey?
Wayne Newton has a monkey that viciously attacked a girl while visiting his former home that turned into a museum, a new lawsuit claims. I guess I really didn't know a lot about Wayne Newton or what he's been up to the last 5 years.
He just seems like Vegas to me.
Well, it says Jocelyn Urena alleges that her daughter Genevieve was bitten by the capuchin monkey named Boo during a tour of the former 40-acre estate, Casa de Shenandoah.
Yeah, I've heard of this before.
So I guess the girl was touring the property as an invited guest, and then without being provoked, the monkey viciously attacked and bit Miss Urena, causing her injury and, of course, emotional distress.
No, it's just rude.
Now they're seeking damages in excess of $15,000, according to the complaint. Now, back in 2013, Newton and his wife, Kathleen, they moved out of the estate after 45 years there, because they... had to file for bankruptcy.
Oh, that hurts.
But then 2 years later, it reopened as a museum with tickets costing $35 just so he could make sure there was a place to house his jet, a vast collection of cars, exotic animals like flamingos, penguins, and of course, Boo.
What? The guy has penguins, too?
He has penguins, but it's all about Boo the vicious monkey. The little guy is my best friend, Newton said. It's good there, isn't it? It's good to be home, right? And then the site was shut down to the public in July of 2018.
What if I got a little capuchin monkey and didn't have any conversation with you two about it, and then just started bringing the capuchin monkey around everywhere I went?
It would be awesome. I would be pissed because I want a capuchin monkey, and
pretty
then I'll
expensive.
Have to get one. I think, what about a macaque monkey?
Those are, I don't know which ones are cheaper. I'll just take a bargain basement monkey if you don't
macaque
mind.
Macaque is cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you what is super cheap. Dead cat.
Oh,
that's a terrible segue.
Depends on where you're shopping.
Jonathan Van Nies is mourning the death of his cat who died. This is hard for me.
What happened to the cat?
Who died after falling from an open window.
Oh, this must have been pretty far. Because that dog that was in the news this week went six stories down through a sunroof and survived. How far did the cat fall?
You know who Jonathan is, right?
No.
Jonathan Van Nies?
From Queer Eye, yeah.
Okay.
What?
Exactly.
What's
exactly.
It's a popular show on Netflix.
He announced on Instagram that his pet, Bug the Second, had fell to his death as he was asleep. At some point last night, while I slept, my baby bug fell from an open window and passed away. I'm hurting so bad, I can't put into words for anyone else experiencing grief and loss. I'm with you.
Aww.
He adopted the cat after the loss of his 13-year-old cat, Bug. That's why he named it Bug the Second. He adopted Bug the Second along with another cat, Liza, a month later.
Oh, man.
And now Bug the Second is Bug the squished on the
pavement. So we're going to need
pavement.
We're going to need Bug the Third.
I don't think I think Bug's bad omen there.
Maybe
I think
just
maybe
go with
a brand new name, but he is mourning the loss. He wanted to let everybody know just in case he was acting different online.
No, just That's don't name the next one Connor, because Eric Clapton tried that and had similar results.
Wow, man. Wow, man. That's on my segment.
A Clapton dead kid joke?
Boy, oh boy.
Dark I'm trying to days. Turn this Friday around, man.
Dark days.
Turn it around into what? The ground? This is, how do I go from that?
I don't know. You gotta wash that away.
They're going to be releasing this soon, the live action remake of this right here.
All right.
Son of a bitch, it's not working.
Just sing it. You're going to have to sing it so we can guess.
When the moon hits your eyes like
that's
a big pizza. It's not the same song, is it? Damn it. From Lady and the Tramp.
Okay, Lady and the Tramp.
Bella.
That's why the lady is a tramp.
Is that the song they sang? You know, the scene with the spaghetti?
I don't know.
I haven't seen it in so long.
Well, People magazine, they have now posted exclusive photos of the Lady and the Tramp live action remake, and now we all have a lot of questions.
Oh, does it look bad?
No, it's just, let me go over what's going to happen first. Justin Theroux is going to voice Tramp.
Okay.
All right, portrayed by a rescue dog with soulful eyes named Monty. Tessa Thompson is going to be Lady, portrayed in the remake by a talented Cocker Spaniel named Rose. Sam Elliott is Trusty, the wise bloodhound with a lost sense of smell.
Okay, so far so good.
And Janelle Monáe is going to be Peg, a fluffy pooch.
All right, what's the problem?
Problem is, there's a pivotal scene, the one that this song is playing right now. And those dogs, Lady and Tramp, they go on a date just like human people, right?
Yeah, they go out and have some food.
They're eating spaghetti, just like you and I, sharing meatballs, ushering them with their little cute cartoon snouts. And then they smooch with the guidance of a long noodle. But how the hell are they going to make the real dogs kiss in the live-action remake?
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter was one of the first suggested ones, yeah.
That's what they use.
Peanut butter. It might look like they're making out too hard. Maybe dog treats. But once again, might look like they're making out too hard. Digital fur technology.
Oh.
Animation. And that's all I got.
There was a... I'm not going to put that in your segment. Oh.
You want to go two for two?
No, go right ahead. It's peanut butter related, and it was... We'll leave it there.
You have a story about from your childhood with a dog?
No, there was a story about a young woman who got caught on a nanny cam this week. Some peanut butter.
making a sandwich.
Well, for someone or something, it's a sandwich.
Like a peanut butter taco.
Yes. Yeah. For a dog, she got caught on the camera that was in the room.
Never, never in my life. I can confidently say we'll look at a dog and be like, I wonder what that's like sexually.
She did.
My good God. Where do you go? You guys are giving me solid segues.
Apologies.
For sure. Mark Hamill, he is an A-plus response after, no lie, there was someone arrested by the name of Luke Skywalker.
Who names their kid Luke Skywalker?
He's in trouble with the authorities again, and no, not the Galactic Empire. This Luke Skywalker, wanted by the Carter County, Tennessee Sheriff's Office. Yes, you do have a warrant for Luke Skywalker's arrest, they wrote on Facebook, adding that he is not armed with the lightsaber, flying an X-Wing, or missing a hand.
Nobody can help themselves with a story like this.
Was this statement issued by Boba Fett?
Nope, but there was, of course, the great comments like, hey, did you check the dark side to see if he was there? Blast! We should have thought of that. Well, in the turn of events, naturally caught the eye of the original Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, leading to a response from the master Twitterer and Last Jedi, saying the sequel that nobody asked for and no one wants to see, Larcenous Luke, the Sheriff Strikes Back. Nailed it. By sequel, he's not only referring to Star Wars, but he's also referring to the fact that this isn't the first time that Mr. Skywalker has been in trouble with the law.
Oh, this guy's got a history.
Yes, the real crime here is that Mr. and Mrs. Skywalker saddling this poor guy with that name in the first place. That was a tweet back in 2018 when Mark Hamill also commented on that.
This is not the first time this guy's been in the news?
Yep, the 22-year-old at that time was facing charges of property theft over $1,000. So anyone with information about walkers has to call the sheriff's office or use the sheriff's office neighborhood cleanup tip line.
It's just going to be a whole bunch of prank calls. The whole thing.
Officers say that if Skywalker is spotted, he's expected to Kessel Run.
All right, I cannot wait until your segment. I cannot wait until I can make some sort of joke, because that's what I was going to end it with. And now, neckbeard tantrum in 3, 2, 1, Netflix's Rocko Modern Life revival will feature a trans storyline.
Wait, this is weird. This is out already.
August. Yeah, it is out.
Yeah, because
Spoiler alert.
Oh, this morning, Courtney turned on the TV. She goes, there's a Rocko's Modern Life live remake.
Yep, they totally did that.
Everybody's saying that now.
It's a 45-minute episode titled Rocko's Modern Life Static Cling, and it's going to include... That story arc picks up decades after the original one ended in 96, and they're saying that the character Ralph Bighead, of course, child of Ed and Bev Bighead,
Mr.
Bighead,
now identifies as Rachel after transitioning from male to female. When they started writing, it started latching onto the idea of change, how society has changed in the last 20 years. It felt natural because not only about change, but something somebody finding out who they are. And it was cool. They actually reached out to and consulted with GLAAD Director of Transgender Representation, Nick Adams, and helped write the episode of the whole thing. So that is out on your Netflix TV.
That's weird. I just saw that this morning.
And drop everything. I'll leave you with this. Oprah has revealed what her final meal would be if she was ever on death row.
Weird question to ask her.
Well, of course, she's promoting something, but want to give it a guess? What is Oprah?
Oprah
what is her last meal?
Last meal.
And she wants it the entire last week.
I need to know this. Fast food or no?
No fast food.
No fast food. It is macaroni salad and pizza.
Close, but no cigar.
I'm not close at all.
See you later.
Oprah Winfrey would eat macaroni and cheese.
Ooh.
And fried chicken.
You are so close, and I will give you the point for it. Pasta. If I'm going to choose, my whole last week will all be pastas. And, of course, she's preferring a skillet pasta, the skillet pasta that's available in her new line of frozen skillets from Oh, That's Good, available in the fall. But, you know, I'll totally buy it because Oprah is... a hero in my eyes. Have a great weekend, my friends, and remember...
smoke weed every day.
Thank you, Sabrina. Live trivia up next, and this is the final day for the Yacht Rock Summer Prize Upgrade. So jump on the phone. The surprise prize to be announced before we kick it off next. 407-916-1041 or toll free 1-888-978-1041. Two callers head to head to battle it out for a prize, and you're playing along in the News Junkie app. Live trivia up next with the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Root.
Story time with the three best friends you never knew you had. This is the News Junkie.
Live trivia in just a moment. And you're playing along on the News Junkie app right now. And for those of you who are on hold right now, occupying all of the lines, good news for you. Because today, the final day of the Yacht Rock Summer Prize upgrades, puts you in a position to win a brand new Lenovo laptop. Yeah! Congratulations. Well, I mean, not congratulations yet, but somebody's going to win it. And you have to get at least three right. Otherwise, this ain't happening. No way, no how is that happening. You're not getting a laptop if you don't get a bunch right. So here goes nothing. Let's do live trivia.
Get ready for live trivia with the News Junkie. Play along with the News Junkie smartphone app.
Right. What? Unless you don't have it, in which case get it.
Search for the News Junkie in the App Store. And now, live trivia.
That is live trivia for a Friday, August 9th, 2019. Seven questions, two callers head-to-head to battle it out for today. A great prize. The final day of Yacht Rock Summer Prize upgrades has a laptop on the line for the winner. And those of you on the app, play along over there with intensity and furor, because whoever's at the number one spot, you're also going to get an Amazon gift card. Let's see here. Who are we going to pick? Now, when I see a name like Last Day of Yacht Rock Summer Pick Me, I think you're trying a little hard, right? I mean, I look
right. He got your attention.
But did get my attention, and they're acknowledging that they know stuff about the show and the prizes. And so let's go to our first competitor today, Dragonette. Are you there, Dragonette?
Rawr.
All right, Dragonette is there and ready to go. And Dragonette is going to go up against Last Day of Summer Pick Me. Are you there?
Nice. Yes, John, I am.
Oh, she's excited. All right. Last Day of Summer Pick Me and Dragonette, the players in live trivia today. Best of luck to the both of you. And here we go with question number one. A six-year-old boy from Georgia is going viral for the shirt that he wore on his first day of school. What did this little kid's shirt say? Did it say, "My pen is huge," "My mom sells shirts," "Vegetarian," or "I will be your friend"? Go ahead, Last Day of Summer Pick Me.
Number one.
Dragonette.
"I will be your friend."
Number two. In the heat of the mass shooting tragedies over the weekend, Chris Rock shared a joke on Instagram, and he's now in hot water with some social media users. Who was featured in the joke? Was it Princess Diana, Willy Wonka, Betty White, or Mr. Rogers? Dragonette.
Could you repeat it, please?
Is it Princess Diana, Willy Wonka, Betty White, or Mr. Rogers?
Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers, the last moment. What do you think, Last Day of Summer Pick Me?
C.
What?
C.
Three. All right. The third one. Okay, number three. A Massachusetts man posted a video on social media that shows a woman threatening to pepper spray him and then questioning his citizenship all because of this. Was he singing in Spanish? Was his dog not on a leash? Were his pants sagging? Or was he selling flowers without a permit? Last Day of Summer Pick Me.
One.
All right, go ahead, Dragonette.
Dog not on a leash.
Number four, the Sarasota Sheriff's Office held a press conference to share their list of apps that put kids at risk of being targeted by predators. Which app was on their list? Grindr, Pedo Finder, Binder, or Sidewinder? And you're up, Dragonette.
Number one.
Last Day of Summer Pick Me.
Shame.
Number five, Lindsay Lohan was supposed to do a talk show, but told them she couldn't talk about Paris Hilton, couldn't talk about her past arrest, couldn't talk about drug and alcohol use, or her dating life. What show was it? Was it See What Happens Now? Was it Have You Been Paying Attention? Was it Do Ask, Do Tell? Or Celebs on Bar B? Last Day of Summer, pick me.
One.
Dragonette.
Number four.
Number six. A team of British scientists have released a vodka made with grain and water from the Chernobyl exclusion zone. What's the name of the vodka from the nuclear power plant? Afterglow Vodka? Seven Fingers Vodka, Atomic Vodka, or Turntable Vodka? Dragonette.
Atomic.
And Last Day of Summer, pick me.
Shame.
Number seven, the final question. Here we are. We've arrived. Focus in. Yesterday, we learned the nation of Barbados has a holiday to celebrate their most famous celebrity. What is February 22nd known as in Barbados? Is it LL Cool Day, Gwyneth Paltrow Day, Doug E. Fresh Day, or Rihanna Day? And Last Day of Summer, pick me, you're up.
Rihanna.
Dragonette, let's wrap this up.
Same.
There we go. With a little sing, a confidence singing at the end. Somebody's going to win this. Is it Dragonette? Is it Last Day of Summer, pick me? Which name worked out for him?
That was a kid, right?
I don't know. I thought halfway through it. Hang on, let's go back over there. That was Last Day of Summer, pick me. Are you a kid?
Yes.
Are you a little boy or a little girl?
Okay.
I'm a little boy.
Oh, I'm sorry I called you a girl at the beginning. I apologize for that.
How old are you?
I'm 12, and I get that I'm a girl a lot.
I know. I got that,
it's
too.
It's okay. Any day now, you're going to start getting the deep squeaks, and your whole life will change.
Yeah, before you know it, all of a sudden, your voice will just fall down deep.
Last Day of Summer, pick me.
it'll be totally different. Sealant is talking, but his microphone is not on.
I know, and I'm watching him on the screen.
Son of a bitch. Is that what you said, son of a bitch?
No.
You know, it's too late.
The joke's expired. Say it.
I just said that, you know, he's growing up and he's going to get a really big change in personality.
Oh, yes. Glad we went back for
you,
that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for making me tell the joke. I already told you it was expired.
You know who else is really glad we went back for that? NationsTrucks.com.
That's right.
Nations Trucks. They
changed the channel after that joke.
They're no longer endorsing Livevia.
They got big old trucks over there, and they are waiting for you to jump in that driver's seat. And you start out by going to the website. Look at the selection there at nationstrucks.com. It couldn't be easier. Enough of driving that beater you drive around every day. You deserve something better, and you're going to get the deal of your dreams at nationstrucks.com. Here we go. Question number one. This young boy from Georgia is going viral. What was on the shirt he wore for his first day of school?
Last Day of Summer, pick me, said my pen is huge. And that answer was wrong. Dragonette said, I will be your friend and I will be giving you a point.
On to number two, this meme that Chris Rock posted. The joke he posted on Instagram featured who?
Dragonette said, Mr. Rogers, and won't you be my... That was wrong. It was Last Day of Summer, pick me, that said Betty White, more like Betty Wright.
Numero three, a Massachusetts man posted a video on social media. Somebody was harassing him because of this.
Last Day of Summer, pick me, said he was singing in Spanish, and eso no es correcto. It was Dragonette said, the dog, was not on a leash. That answer was right.
Number four, the Sarasota police said, your kids are in danger. Keep them off of these apps. Which app was on the list?
Both the players said Grindr, and that answer was right.
For the record, if you bump into an app called PedoFinder, probably avoid that one too, just in case.
That was another moment that Ceylon didn't have his mic on, but I saw him scream out, Sidewinder.
Can you not hear that your mic is not on when you do it?
I didn't notice it when I did it.
The other thing I wanted to mention was that 6-year-old boy whose mom sent him to school with a custom shirt. You said that yesterday. The shirt was like exploding.
And it was a perfect plan on her part. She sends in this news story, and now like she is in over her head with shirt sales from all around the country.
Man, it works perfectly. Let's go on to number five. Lindsay Lohan was supposed to be on this show.
What was that name? Last Day of Summer, Pick Me, yes. Said, see what happens now. I'll show you what happens now.
Ah.
Dragonette said, celebs on a bobby, more like no. Correct answer, have you been paying attention? Obviously, you have not.
Number six, a team of British scientists made a vodka. What is it called?
Both the players said atomic vodka, and the answer was right.
The final question, February 22nd in Barbados. What day is it?
Both the players, Last Day of Summer and Dragonette, said Rihanna Day, and that answer was right. We do have a winner of live trivia, and that is Dragonette!
All right! Congratulations, Dragonette. You are the winner of live trivia
even
today.
Though that 12-year-old would really use a laptop for school, huh?
Yeah, I mean, let's see if we can talk about this. So, Dragonette, you were up against a young kid, school starting, that could really use a laptop.
Probably change the course of his life if a nice guy like you was...
This could be your Scott's Tots moment right here.
Can I talk?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, give it to the Pick Me.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I dig it.
Oh, man. Now
that's
I feel
so sweet.
Yeah, I mean, but it would be really cool if you had one, right?
Yeah. Why don't we break it in half and each of you gets a piece?
Somebody gets the monitor. You get a lithium battery.
Yay.
Oh, that's very nice. Last day of summer, Pick Me, he says he's going to give you the laptop because you're a kid and you're getting ready for school.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Oh my God. Thank you.
All right. Hang on tight. We're going to get your information.
Don't get too excited. It's a Chromebook.
It's a Lenovo. I told you it was a Lenovo. We should have taken off today. That's the theme of the day.
I'm going to start drinking.
All right. So it sounds like Last Day of Summer, Pick Me is going to get that. Maybe Dragonette should get another prize. What do we have?
Yeah, I have a 4-pack of tickets to see an advanced screening of Good Boys, the creative minds behind Superbad, taking on sixth grade and taking it on hard.
And the 12-year-old can't go to that.
Yeah.
Because it's R.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It is outrageous comedy. Good Boys is in theaters August 16th. I also have a 4-pack of tickets to Orlando's newest and most immersive water park, Island H2O Live, making waves at Central Florida's most technologically advanced water park with over 20 experiences throughout the park. You can find more information about that at realradio.fm, keyword Island H2O.
All right. Let's take a look at the scoreboard in the News Junkie app.
He told you this earlier.
I know. I forgot that Celine forgot his phone.
And then I don't know why... I thought it was going to work for me to snap at him instead of wave. I don't know if you heard me a second ago.
Just going,
I got it. Are we doing weekly, lifetime, daily? That's what it is?
The weekly. Who's on top of the weekly scoreboard?
And on top of the scoreboard with 3,245 points, the winner of this week, the Dida.
All right.
Close behind BDMP, Laser Blade, took my Chevy to Levy, but Levy was Bry. My name is Chip. Please keep me anonymous. My brother can suck it. Ask Holy Ho, Boost Junkie, Lady Hot Dog, and wrapping it or rounding out, doing something. Fancy Nancy at number 10.
All right. Thank you all for playing along. We do appreciate it. You too can get in on the action. Search for the News Junkie in the App Store to get all set for live trivia next week. Don't worry. Great prizes continue on through the rest of the year. Fall. Winter, whatever season it may be, there will be great prizes for everybody. When we come back, still a lot to work in. There is yet another lawsuit about a song that they say may or may not have been stolen. And this time, it's kind of a surprise.
It's ridiculous.
We'll see if people think this is worthy of a lawsuit or if this is a real stretch. We'll play them both next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
.com.
The show that takes you from Skywall Summer to Jack Rocket Fall. Whatever that means. This is the News Junkie.
Why does this keep happening? How many stories have we had on this show? And I just want to get right into this. How many stories have we had where somebody had a famous song and some unknown musician or band or whatever comes out and says, hey, you stole that from me. I know we had the Katy Perry one. We just had that. That one just happened. We had the one from, what's the Blurred Vision guy? What's it, Blurred Lines?
Yes, Robin Thicke and Pharrell Williams.
Robin Thicke and Pharrell Williams. That was when they lost that case.
And it was, I'm pretty sure, two songs, I thought. And it was Marvin Gaye's estate.
Yeah, yeah. These people have been popping up out of the woodwork over the past year or so and suing for all of these songs. And have you heard this one, Sabrina, the latest one that came out today? I think you've seen this, right?
Yes, I did. And I heard, you know, the song from the person who, at the time of bringing this up, had a whopping 300 listens.
Woo!
On it, and now has way more.
So one of those listens on their song they're saying was from Lady Gaga. That's what, I mean, or from somebody who wrote this song.
Right.
Because otherwise, how would they steal it? Lady Gaga is being threatened with a multi-million dollar lawsuit by an unknown songwriter who claims the melody of her Oscar-winning song Shallow from her hit movie A Star Is Born was stolen from a song he released in 2012. Now, has everybody seen...
Deep.
Has everybody seen A Star Is Born? We should start there.
Yes.
You've seen it? You've seen it too?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I've seen like three quarters of it. That's enough. That's plenty to get here. And everybody knows the damn song, and everybody wants Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper to bang. This is it, right? Oh, yeah. I was pretty catchy. All right, so this is the song they're saying ripped them off, this guy who's totally unknown. So remember that, and then here's the song that they say was the original one. This is a song called, it's called Almost, and it's by a guy named Steve Ronson, never heard of him in my life.
And mind you, he's accusing her of not stealing, like, the whole song, just the three-note progression.
Oh, so...
Just the three notes.
So the idea that it goes from G to A to B...
Essentially.
Is what they say was stolen. Boy, I wonder if any other songs go from G to A to B. Probably thousands and thousands of them. So let's listen. This is what they say Lady Gaga stole from. Here's the song, Almost.
Can't you see that I'm almost home? And I can't feel.
It's just three chords, bud.
It's three notes.
Yeah.
Not even chords.
Yeah, just G, A, and B.
Every time I'm here, that's the part.
This part?
No, what you just heard.
Just the beginning, right?
So
that part. Now play yours.
This is he's about to get into the part where
I'm falling. Can't you see?
Okay, it's similar, but 8,000 people have done that.
And then here is one of those 8,000 people. You might know him, a little band called Kansas.
Okay.
With a little song that plays at every funeral.
Just a drop of water in an endless sea.
Oh, yeah, this has got the same progression.
Boom, boom. Same thing.
Yeah, you can't do
this.
Sue
in Kansas?
You can't. Dude. You can't do this because if it goes to court and they give him a judgment, it's not that different than the Katy Perry thing.
Exactly.
Like there is no connection here. You go, ooh, what chords do they use? I recorded a song where it had those three chords. It's just that's kind of getting out of control.
It is out of control, but you know what? It's a perfect formula. Because this is never going to go through. I mean,
no.
Obviously, like, the lawyers, and she's going to have awesome ones, have already pointed out that those three chords, those three note progressions, are so common, can be heard in musical pieces dating back centuries. And then one of their biggest ones was Dust in the Wind, because this dude, Ronson, is claiming that he came up with it. And they're like, no, here's Kansas doing it. But guess what? It doesn't matter if this lawsuit gets thrown out. He just went from 300 listens to now he's going to be able to monetize this song.
Right. Yeah, he's getting attention out of it, which might be what he wanted to begin with. But somebody needs to stomp one of these people. It's almost like patent trolls and stuff where they sue you because they just want you to go away or they know you want them to go away, rather, and you get a bunch of money out of things. There's a lot of this going on. It's happening with the ADA as well. The Americans with Disabilities Act. There's people who are going around and saying, look, I'm vision impaired and your website isn't set up for the disabled. And there's a major Supreme Court case going on that. So lawyers just start picking up everything. And they go, here's a website. Let's sue them. Let's sue this website. And one after another, you just run into this very same situation. That song's not stolen. That is not a unique thing that that person has laid down on that track.
Also, the music video for Dust in the Wind is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Is it as bad as the one for the song he said they stole it from?
No. Kansas, Dust in the Wind.
Yeah, it's the old song.
They have incredible long hair and there's foggy and weird lighting and they just stand perfectly still while two guys just play. No one is reacting emotionally or physically throughout the entire 3 minutes
long. Well, the guy who did the Always song, there was a video for that, too, on YouTube saw. And it was just really super-duper low-budget, super cheesy stuff. Before we get to your dispatches from the News Junkie app, which we'll pull up in just a moment here, there was a bit of a stumble on the campaign trail, folks.
Oh, no.
I like when they make mistakes. I love the Jeb Bush please clap moment. I like when politicians, they gaff it up. I'm a big fan of the political gaff. And, that is just literally, seriously, one of my favorites when Jeb Bush
please
did
clap.
It. Please clap. please clap, if you don't mind. I like when they screw up. Joe Biden had a slip-up this week. Joe Biden leading in the polls for the Democrats. He's on the campaign trail. He's in Iowa. He's talking about stuff. He's saying a lot of things, and he slips up.
And the other thing we should do is we should challenge these students. We should challenge students in these schools to have advanced placement programs in these schools. We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids.
I like the one clap. He said, poor kids are just as bright and talented as white kids. Which I guess he's suggesting poor kids equals black kids.
Or just, not white.
Right. The statement. And the one person's like, and after, I think he realized what he did, so he started throwing in extra stuff.
And the other thing we should do is we should challenge these students. We should challenge students in these schools to have advanced placement programs in these schools. We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids, black kids, Asian kids. Not really mean, but think how we think about it.
All the kids. What he meant, obviously, was poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as rich kids. And then he was going to flip that around with white kids and black kids. And he got all looped around and confused. Joe Biden is known to kind of do that from time to time. Let's get to some of those dispatches. You sent them through the News Junkie app, and let's see what's going on with them. Oh! Last we heard from this dispatcher, Ball Death Dealer, he just kind of tossed out there that he didn't have any kidneys and didn't feel like he needed to follow up with any more information on that. I'll just say I have no kidneys and I'll tell you nothing more about it. So maybe he's checking back in with what happened there. Let's go to that dispatch.
Just a clarification on my last dispatch. I don't have functioning kidneys. They're still in my body. They have just failed me. I've dispatched before talking about how I was in hospital with failed kidneys. So, yeah, later.
Oh, man, good luck on those kidneys. That could be a whole damn thing.
He needs new ones, I think.
I know, but good luck getting the new ones. That's the real problem a lot of people run into. Well, everybody who's on the list. And more and more, we have situations where people just end up falling through the cracks. So you're not going to, buddy. This is going to happen for you. And I wish you the best. Let's go to a name that I can't say on the radio with a dispatch.
Hey, guys. I just thought I'd add a couple things to the show that don't really add anything to the show.
We're waiting for
first us. First of all, the wing issue that you had a while ago, no one mentioned boneless wings, and they are by far
those
the best.
Those aren't wings.
Secondly,
those are nuggets.
The jingles. No one, and I'm disappointed in you, Sean, mentioned Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
I don't know. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know that. I don't know what that song is. After the show where we talked about those jingles and how it's a lost art, I can't tell you how many people were like, what about this one? What about this one? What about this one? It's just the idea that people say that proves the point that that is a lost art and it's very, very impactful. Here's Rocket Lawn Chair with a dispatch.
Hey guys, happy Friday. Just wanted to share how happy I am today because after 11 years at 13, to $17,000 a year. Today is the last day I have to pay for daycare.
Big day. I've got
money for restaurants, trips. And what's that, sweetie? What? New car.
Oh, there it goes.
Oh, man.
Hey, you're going to love it, though. And at least this time you get to enjoy the money you're spending.
Can I interest you in a truck?
Yeah, send you on over to Nation's Truck, sir. That's what you need to do. Start knocking on their door. Here's Sandy. I'm sorry. It's not Sandy. Sandpaper Handy with a dispatch.
Here's an odd food combo for you.
I'm ready.
Everyone argues that pineapple doesn't belong on pizza. I like to do a frozen pizza and put red pepper flake on it and dip it
in
applesauce. It has to be original
applesauce. All right, that's weird.
Cinnamon sugar. But it's the original applesauce. It's so good. Everyone's disgusted when I tell them or see me do it.
I don't think that's that weird. I mean, that sounds kind of good, actually. I get that. Taking your pizza, and he said, dunk it in applesauce and a little red pepper flakes, and have at it.
I mean, that sounds pretty good. I like...
people do it right in the milk. Have you ever been friends with somebody?
Pizza and milk?
I've seen people just eating pizza, dunking the milk, right? Pizza right in the mouth.
And the amount of crap I get for liking mayonnaise, but hey, everyone's...
That's normal.
What?
Liking mayonnaise is totally normal.
No, it's not. You know, and unfortunately, us mayo lovers are shamed every day. I have to whisper to those that are serving me at the time, can I please get a side of mayonnaise?
Everything comes default with mayonnaise.
Can I please get a side of mayonnaise?
I think you're much weirder, much, much weirder, dipping a pizza in some applesauce. That's going to get you looks. But I would try it. I would give that a shot. When we come back, we'll get into jury duty, some stories with some updates, including a big one this week that it turns out the details have completely flipped. The panic in Times Square, more information surfacing. What really happened there? That's next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
This is Real Radio 104.1 on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos. We are an iHeartRadio station.
The land.
Tackling sensitive subjects with unparalleled irreverence. You're listening to the News Junkie.
In just a moment, also, coming up at 2 o'clock this week in Florida. And I saw this story today. This is kind of an amazing thing to me. Because I think about 4 or 5 years ago, we probably thought the opposite was going to be the case. And the story says that teen motherhood has hit an all-time low. Teen motherhood, which was climbing in the late 80s, has hit an all-time low. And the highest it was at was back in the 60s.
You remember that time, right?
The 50s. I was not alive then.
Scott Maxwell has a different idea.
He seems to believe I was. I was not. I was not born then, but if I was, I would have been at the time when they had the most teenage births in recorded history.
No.
At that time, it was for every 1,000 girls. For every 1,000 girls, it was about 100 of them that would be pregnant.
Interesting. But do you think that has a lot to do with how young people would get married back then?
Yeah, I think it was probably the case right there. And then after that, it started to fall in the 70s. And then in the late 80s, it went back up. I don't know exactly why that happened. That was the baby boom, too, back then in the 50s and 60s and stuff, from the 40s on. And it's been just a precipitous drop across all measurable things. And I thought with like Teen Mom and all this stuff, I would have thought, oh, some of these young girls are going to want to get pregnant. They're going to think, oh, I can get pregnant. I get on this TV show. Nothing. It's gone from 100 out of every 1,000 girls from 15 to 19 would have babies to only 17. So only 17 babies born per 100 girls between 15 and 19. They say, according to Pew, this remarkable drop shows up across all races and ethnicities. Asian teen girls dropped 74%, Hispanic girls 65%, Black girls 60%, White 53%, and just across the board, it has plummeted. You would have thought, like, oh my God, look at all this sex out there. Look at all this stuff. All these kids. You'd think it would just be marching up in the air. Somehow, these kids, and if you look at drug use in kids in middle school and high school right now, cigarette smoking, alcohol in particular, it's all plummeted. I don't know how.
Because of Fortnite.
Maybe they're busy doing other things, but it's just plummeted.
Now, this, I don't know if it's going to be morbid or not. Are these stats of full-term pregnancy, like had the baby, or does this also include teens that have had abortions?
I don't know how they factor that in, but because of the timing of it and how it's just dropped continuously since the 50s, it wouldn't have been that abortion was what put a real ding in those numbers. It just wouldn't match up with the timeline. It's just a social thing. And maybe it's because, you imagine this, maybe it's because there's more information out there about sex that young girls are getting access to. And instead of just going, hey, abstinence this, abstinence that, we're teaching them about what can happen, you know, getting pregnant and giving them some information. That's working.
You know, they're actually starting to come around and teach this stuff in schools, and you're not just hearing it from your stupid uncle that's like, ah, you're condom schmondom, you're fine as you pees afterwards.
Right. Yeah. We're getting some of that folklore out of the world of sex education, and it looks like it's working. Whatever it is, nobody mess with anything, okay? Everybody leave it alone, because it looks like things are working currently. Let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
Unfortunately, Moses DeWitt is in a mediation right now with a client, so he is not able to join us today. So we'll just sit quietly. For the rest of this segment.
Okay.
Moses will be back in next week, of course, but he wants to help people like you first. That's what comes first and foremost. And you can get a great attorney after an accident by calling 1-800-DEWITT-LAW, an attorney that fights for the best possible judgment, an attorney that brings these cases to court, that isn't just trying to settle, but is worried about you. And I know it's tempting. You see all these commercials, you see all these billboards out there, and you sometimes want to make a decision based off of that. Make a good decision. Somebody who's going to give you their time, somebody who cares about you, and somebody who fights the insurance companies all the time. Injured at work, in an accident, whatever. Make sure you call 1-800-DEWITT-LAW. So here's the update. We have this story about Times Square. This, of course, in the aftermath of these two shootings this weekend in El Paso and Dayton. And then in Times Square, days later, there's a loud noise, a car backfires, and everybody panics. People are running in every direction. Pandemonium on the streets in Times Square. People are running into the Schubert Theater where To Kill a Mockingbird was on the stage. The actors jump off the stage. Everybody's running every which way. And it's everybody on edge. The news coverage has been pretty breathless in this. People are worried, and that makes you on edge. It's just the way it works. But now we know more about what happened that sent hundreds of people fleeing down side streets and hiding in storefronts. What happened was some jackass on a dirt bike was driving through there and revving up his motor as loud as he could. That's what backfired.
So he was doing it on purpose.
Yeah, it was a backfiring dirt bike. Some idiot showboating led to the backfire that caused all of that chaos.
Can he be charged with inciting a riot if that was not his intent? He might have just wanted to make a loud noise.
He hasn't been yet. He hasn't been yet if he could be. But I'm interested. Can you look this up, C-Lan? The guy who went in Walmart that we talked about earlier, who had a semi-automatic rifle and body armor and fatigues and 100 rounds on him, that guy, he just started walking around and everybody panicked. He has been charged, from what I heard, not too long ago. I want to see what he's been charged with. Was that in, like, causing panic, inciting a riot? Or
no shots were fired, blah, blah, blah. He walked in here, da, da, da.
Because what happens is a lot of times open carry people get away on a technicality that you're like, well, it's not illegal for me to do this. But if you walk into a Walmart, everybody is going to think, oh, is this going to happen to me now?
Exactly. And I mean, you can threaten to bomb something, had no intention of that, just wanted to scare somebody, and you get charged for it, do you not?
You would, in that case, yeah. If you just called in a bomb threat, you certainly would be.
He's facing formal charges of making a terrorist threat in the first degree.
Oh, so he must have said something.
I don't know.
There must have been something that was said, because technically, I think what he did was legal if he just walked around and didn't say anything. It's unbelievably wrong, and should be, because it's so bound to cause panic, should be in many ways illegal. This is not a free speech issue. This is not a free expression issue. This is not a Second Amendment issue. Nobody out there thinks that the Second Amendment or the First Amendment applies to you walking in and basically giving the impression to people that they're going to be in the next mass shooting. It's wrong. It's really detrimental to a child who would be growing up in this world already, where we have enough problems. And I'm glad that the guy's been charged. I don't know if that'll stick, but we've got a larger issue here. Definitely a larger issue. A maniac with an AR-15 guns down two people on a Houston highway, sparking a manhunt. It was in the middle of rush hour traffic. The guy left in his car. He had a trash bag full of weed in his car. The shooter and another person inside his sedan crashed into another car, caused it to spin out. Both suspects got out of the car. One opened fire. So they were like fighting back and forth with another car, and then they opened fire on it. It's more of some sort of gang activity, they believe. But just as they're cruising down the interstate in Houston, all of this stuff is going on. All right, let's get to it. C-Lane, confidence level high or low?
Confidence level in the content is high. Confidence level in my throat, not as high.
All right, so this week in Florida, 0 to 10. What are we looking at?
We're looking at an 8.5.
Ooh, all right. That sounds good. At 8.5, when we come back, buckle up, folks. This week in Florida is next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Instagram, it's not just for dog. Like, oh my God, look at this cute puppy. At Real Radio. Radio station. Real. The kind of crew who types the word functioning in bold, italic, and underline. This is the News Junkie.
This week in Florida, in just a second. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for giving us the time and for supporting the News Junkie radio show. We love you. We appreciate you. And if you are not going to the next level of setting up the News Junkie app, it's free for you to get, and you might want to get in on that right now. So when we talk about something that's visual, we can show it to you and see it now. You could send dispatches in. You'll be on the show with us. You can listen to uncensored shows. Secret shows are on there if you're a subscriber. And there's so much more stuff to do, and it's all waiting for you. So search for the News Junkie in the App Store now and get all set up and ready to go and jump in that chat room as we do this week in Florida.
Giving you a recap of the most groan-worthy stories in the state. It's This Week in Florida.
Yes, that's right. The weekend is here, and that means it's time to take a look back at the past 7 days and see some of the zaniness that has emitted from the Sunshine State. And, you know, sometimes this segment is hard to plan for.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to really stretch things. Sometimes I have to add in stories that aren't really that interesting, like Farmer Douchebag just grew the biggest tomato, world record.
Are you warning us?
Congratulations. No, today is not that day.
Oh, cool.
Today is the day where I rejoice.
But that means this was a bad week for Florida. If it's a good week for this week in Florida, isn't it almost just automatically a bad week for Florida?
It was a bad week for a couple people, and we'll get to that in a second. But first, I am hesitant to even ask Sean this question because I know that this I don't see this happening.
Where's this going?
But Sabrina, have you thought about, if you were to get engaged,
where you would take your engagement photos, because that's an important thing now. You get engaged, you got to take photos.
That's a new one for me. I've
would
noticed.
You do it, or you would you find it to be necessary, or would you do it privately?
We've taken a lot of private photos, so I could just have somebody superimpose the ring on it.
That might be weird.
Yeah, sure. I would do engagement photos. Why not? To announce or maybe to save the date or something like that. And where it would be, probably the bar.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a good setting.
That might be a decent one. This couple, Alexander Darch and Dylan Smith.
Yeah, sure.
They,
where did you do your engagement
I'm all photo? Good. I'm all good.
Yeah.
I'm
where good. Where are you going to pop the question?
The question, what question?
The marry me.
No,
question.
I'm good.
Will you marry me?
I'm all good. I'm all good.
Yeah, that's why I didn't ask Sean. Alexander Darch and Dylan Smith. They had an idea for a soft, intimate set of portraits with golden sunlight filtering through mossy oak trees.
Oh.
But it's Florida, and Florida f's all that kind of stuff up. So when rain scuttled their plans to have photos taken at a nature preserve, their photographer said, "Hey, why don't you do your engagement photos at the Publix where you met?"
Okay.
So Alexandra and Dylan went to the public supermarket at Oak Bridge Square in Lakeland, and they did all their cutesy little engagement photos through the aisles of a public supermarket.
Okay.
They pretended to fight over which chips to buy. They pushed each other on the cart through the aisles.
All
the other customers are like, "Oh my gosh, this is so adorable."
I like making the most of something better than anybody else, but I mean, come on. Your engagement photos are in Publix?
If you think that's cheesy, the photo you will love the most is the one of the two of them behind the door to the freezer that's all frosted up,
mm-hmm.
and they drew a heart in it.
You have to, like, Lady and the Tramp of Pub Sub or something. That's what you have to do.
I don't know if it's going to be as cute.
It would be kind of funny, though.
There'd be a lot of sucking going on.
How do you eat Pub Subs?
You don't just put the end in your mouth and suck.
He doesn't eat them.
You suck on subs.
He doesn't eat them. He fillets them.
That's right. I'm going to get you a sandwich.
Speaking of that, fellatio. Down in the Keys, the U.S. Coast Guard has recovered 6 bales of cocaine found floating off the Florida Keys between Saturday and Monday. 6 bales is 284 pounds or 130 kilograms.
That's a lot.
What's the estimated value of 6 bales of cocaine?
Well, if I get it, it's going to fill in my backstory a little more, but I'm going to take a shot anyhow.
How many kilos?
What's the total kilo?
That is 130 kilograms.
That's a lot. $65 million. Dollars.
Wow.
Sabrina?
I'm going to go $27 million.
You went in the right direction, but not far enough. It's only $3.8
million. Oh, that's selling the cheap stuff.
Jump change. One bale was found Saturday to Sunday about 10 nautical miles east of Isla Morada. Some of the bales were first spotted by boaters who, this article says, inexplicably reported their finds to the Coast Guard.
What are you doing?
What's been left unsaid is there's a party at Chewy's place on the beach. Snurfs up. All right. Thank you, theonlyfloridaman.com. There's been a woman that's been arrested. Sometimes you burglar a home, and because you want stuff.
Uh-huh.
You want valuables, you want jewelry, or you just want a big old stack of cash. This woman wanted something slightly different.
Take a good look. Home cameras catching a woman making a bold break-in. But BSO says she's not your typical thief. They say she made a ham sandwich on her way out.
Took a chicken from the refrigerator, threw it to the dog.
Connie Buchanan
was the judge.
A judge in Boncourt Thursday, accused of breaking into a Fort Lauderdale home and helping herself to a snack.
I was some friend. They said, "What? What is cheese in my home?"
The victim didn't want to show her face, but she had no problem showing just one station this video of the bizarre burglary. The hunger heist happening here in Gardenia Road.
Oh my gosh, the alliteration is too much for me. It's too much.
Wow.
Yes, she went in, she pet the dog, and then to distract the dog from anything else she might be doing, fed it a piece of chicken while she helped herself to a nice little ham sandwich.
That's very sweet.
She's got a methy-looking mugshot, and she was granted $7,500 bond. If you guys have never been in the situation where you've seen like a weird flasher.
No. Somebody actually flashing their genitals in public? No.
I thought I did, and it turns out that I was,
not like a trench coat flasher, right?
No, I thought that I had seen an old man, masturbating in the parking lot. And so you see something, you say something, right?
Yeah.
And
I
said something, and he was not masturbating. It was just a flesh-colored leaf reflecting in his crotch area.
You don't want that.
So, no.
Tallahassee man was arrested after flashing a woman at a liquor store. The weird part they have in the story, that the woman told the sheriff's office on the day of the incident that a man she didn't know entered the liquor store and started talking to her. She also told deputies he was acting strangely. He paced back and forth, walked behind a display, pulled out his penis, and said, "Hey, look at this." So the arrest warrant charging this guy, Womack, with indecent exposure.
Look at this.
Womack was arrested Wednesday at his home in Leon County and booked into the Wakulla County Jail. Let's see, we have some road rage incidents on the road that everybody loves to hate, and I'm talking Interstate 4.
Yes.
In Orlando, Orange County Sheriff's deputies arrested a Lakeland man Thursday after a driver on Interstate 4 claimed the man pointed a semi-automatic weapon at him.
There we go.
The driver told deputies it happened around 8 a.m., as the two of them were driving eastbound on I-4 near Highway 192.
You know what? I don't know what happened here in this story, but you don't get your gun anymore. If you have road rage problems and you're pulling out your gun and showing your gun to somebody else in a road rage situation, you don't get your gun anymore. You should lose your weapon rights for doing stuff like this. This person clearly doesn't have it mentally together enough.
Do we need bacon and eggs to give you a refresher on the first 10?
Let me tell you about the founders.
On the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, which is just a really long way of saying Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
He told investigators he and the driver of a white Mercedes, 40-year-old Herschel Barger, tried to enter the center lane at the same time. He said Barger activated his wiper fluid to douse his car afterwards. Told investigators when they approached the World Center Drive, he saw Barger hanging his head out of his driver's side window, yelling something he couldn't understand. They found a Glock Model 17. They said even though it was holstered under the driver's seat, it was armed and readily accessible to the driver.
Come on, man.
Barger had to post a $1,100 bond to get out of Orange County Jail Thursday afternoon. And this is something I would never find myself in. This is a situation that Sean and I would probably...
happen in a gym?
It didn't happen in a gym, no. it happened on a lake where somebody wanted to do some kayaking.
Oh, I'm not in a... Yeah. Well, I've been in a kayak.
Yeah, Sean of the three of us...
When did you kayak?
Sean of the three of us is the most recent to have been in a kayak.
In Puerto Rico, we went kayaking in one of the bioluminescence things. And I did all right. I did okay.
Were you both in one kayak or you had your own kayak?
Double kayak. Like, you know, it's a two-person thing.
Hmm. Now, you know, I'm a master kayaksman.
I'm not great, but I was better than 90% of the yahoos in the group that we were in.
Good.
Well, this guy, he had his kayak on the top of his SUV. And I don't know exactly what he was going for, because it's not like he was trailing it and had to back it into the water down a boat ramp. It was on top of the SUV, and for some reason, the article says, we're not sure if he was trying to slingshot it in there somehow, like just like drive pretty fast and then just slam on the brake and the kayak just zooms into the water.
Would have looked cool if he could have pulled it off.
If he could have pulled it off, it would have been awesome, but instead he pulled off driving his SUV into the lake. There is a really unfortunate picture of just the back of this guy's looks like a Ford Explorer, but I can't really tell.
Oh no!
Just kind of like peeking out of the water.
Ford exploring the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
with itself.
Yeah,
and last but not least, in this week in Florida, my favorite story of the week, and you know, it's my favorite story because there's so many parts to it that come together into this awesome, just really good
like a
gem of a story.
Megazord of a Florida story?
This is a Florida Megazord story, and it's the most Florida that I've seen all week.
Florida Zord, obviously.
But a lot of times, you know, when crimes are committed, you know, they talk to the sheriff's office and they say, we've got our detectives working night and day. They're not going to stop until the culprit is found. Mm-hmm. We are putting our best men on this. Not this time.
Oh, they put the worst men on.
No, this time, Volusia County Sheriff's Sergeant Todd Smith, Volusia.
I do declare
Volusia County Sheriff, Todd Smith, said, we're probably not going to solve this one.
Okay, well, at least they're being honest.
And you'll figure out why. A suspect is wanted, but probably won't be found, for stealing a handgun
during an anonymous masked orgy last month in Central Florida.
Wow.
Sheriff's deputies say they have no leads. Around 20 guests participated in the orgy, which was at a private residence in Deltona, Florida, about 30 miles north of Orlando.
Now, I have to be honest.
I have so many questions.
My orgy experience is not very good.
Go ahead, ask me anything.
Is 20 people at an orgy a large orgy or a regular size orgy? It's a big one?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, four or more is, I think, in the orgy territory, orgy territory. And 20 people is now not even like your small little gathering on the 4th of July. Like, that's snacks and water and like trying to, someone's asking where the bathroom is. While someone else
sex everywhere
is sexing, plus you know the stuff that you have to do outside. I'm sure that there's chargers being used. I mean, that's a lot. 20 people. Also, Deltona.
I imagine like an Eyes Wide Shut situation. But
are they old?
Is the Deltona area? I'm not sure.
Deltona.
Old people having orgies, huh? Mm.
The theme was anonymous sex. And participants
isn't that the theme of every orgy?
No. There's not anonymous. It's supposed to be just random.
Oh, so they were wearing the mask the whole time.
Right. Participants were encouraged to use fake names, invite friends, and come and go as they pleased.
Giggity.
During the weekend, according to the News Journal, the party was also advertised on social media. Huh. Not anyone I follow. But a 9mm Glock was left on a nightstand of the master bedroom during the party, and police said the gun's owner wasn't able to make any identifications.
Why would you leave your gun on the nightstand?
Well, if you're doing an orgy, you take off your gun.
Yeah, it's a pretty much a rule.
Use it during it.
I wouldn't bring a gun to an orgy.
We're probably not going to solve this one, Volusia County Sheriff Sergeant Todd Smith said Thursday, and DNA is not going to be an option.
Oh my God!
After the
DNA
theft,
everywhere.
After the theft was reported, the homeowner was quote unquote apprehensive about giving more details to detectives. But eventually told them about the party. He said he probably only knew about 5 or 6 of the guests.
Man, where do you recruit for this stuff?
Facebook.
That
I guess.
Is so weird.
That means...
I would hope everyone got tested before that.
Yeah, do you just trust people? And then I'm, with my luck, I would go over there and they'd be like, make up a name. And I'd be like, hi, I'm Sean Boston.
Sean Boston. I'm here for the orgy. Uh-huh. They're like, okay, welcome in, Mr. Boston. Here is a fishbowl full of rubbers and just a... Yeah, find somebody and do some banging.
I would pick like the most disgusting mask to wear to that. Like
something
just
vile.
Like some not even vile, just like awkward to look at, or maybe like a baby face and like, well, you said mask.
He said he only knew he only knew 5 or 6 of the guests. So that means like 14, 15 people that were complete strangers doing the sex in his house, and now he is without a gun. That's it for this week in Florida.
Thank you, C-Lane. Back in just a moment with a story about a man who fell at home for 5 days. No one helped that man, but he managed to stay alive. How did he stay alive? Well, you might need this in the future. This information could save your life someday, and it's only minutes away. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
That's all.
Occupying the space between high society and prison tattoos. This is the News Junkie.
Life changes so much as you get older, doesn't it? When you're younger, the first thing you're worried about, you're like, I just gotta survive. Gotta make it through these years until I'm self-sufficient.
I gotta get through this.
And then you're taking on the world as an adult, and you've got the world by the balls, and
yeah, right.
You're really just doing great. And really, you feel invincible at that time, in like your 20s and 30s and stuff.
I would say just early 20s for me. I'd say early
20s. You're
already 20s.
Not feeling invincible anymore?
No, I feel like now the world has me by the balls. I have developed them, and they are now holding them and squeezing them and taking me for a roller coaster of a ride.
Well, you get then into your 70s and your 80s and then even into your 90s. And when you're in your 90s in particular, you just try not to fall. Because if you fall, you could be stuck. You could die from falling when you get that old.
It's a whole ordeal. When you hear the phrase, grandma or grandpa fell, You, everyone, like, the environment changes. Like, oh, God.
It's scary.
What's going on now?
You know how fragile they are? And it goes back to all these commercials we've seen over the years. Celia, I think you've seen the Help I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up commercials. Everybody knows these. But this guy was not going to be stopped. This elderly resident in Arlington was rescued by a mail carrier, neighbors, and first responders after falling at home and not being able to get up. Now, this man did not have a life alert, which maybe he should have, but he fell down in the house and was sitting there for a while and realized, I cannot get up. What am I going to do here? It's been about an hour, and I'm laying on the floor. I better start planning some things out. Maybe I'm going to scooch over here or scooch over there.
I'm going to crap myself.
Probably going to crap myself at some point, but he's only an hour in. Then a day goes by, and 2 days, and 3 days, and 4 days, and 5 days he spent laying on the floor of his kitchen.
My God.
The only thing he had right out at the end of his arm's reach was one Coca-Cola bottle. And for 5 days, he was able to stay alive by just surviving on that Coca-Cola. And this mail carrier...
This is a commercial for Coca-Cola. They set the life whole
alert.
Thing up.
Yeah, either Coca-Cola or Life Alert's involved in this. Jared Agnew, a neighbor, said a mail carrier who goes by E was the first one to notice something was amiss. She asked if anybody had seen the resident. His door had been open for a couple of days, and the mail had not been moved. Agnew said after E asked around, one of the neighbors called police, who responded to investigate the open door. There they find him on the floor, and he's like, paramedics! And they take him to the hospital, and he's going to be okay.
Yay!
If you are on the floor for 5 days, and you can have only one item to live on for that period of time...
My vibrator.
That is not about enjoyment, but just about survival. Well, you can have two items. You have 5 days you're laying on the floor of your kitchen. For me, this is going to sound really weird. For me, it would be a bottle of water, which is just, you know, to get by. And a giant, like the biggest one they have, like the size you can sword fight with, a giant Slim Jim.
Now, Slim Jim, huh?
I just work away slowly at the Slim Jim over the course of those days, gnawing at it a little bit.
I like where your head's at with the giant thing, so I'm going to go ahead with the water as well and a jumbo size, bulk size of Cheetos Puffs.
The big giant thing?
The
like
tub.
The barrel of cheese balls?
Yep, and I think once I've emptied it, it'll actually help me get up.
That's true. You could like utilize that to push your body
or
up.
I can use it to store my poo-poo.
I was going to say, if you're on your back and you have to poo.
Yep. But this is going to happen.
You know it was a mess.
Yeah, this is going to happen anyway.
I can only have one item to ensure my survival.
You can have two. You can have two, but we chose water as the first one.
I'm going to go water.
All right.
And my cell phone.
Yeah. This
that
is not
doesn't
a,
count.
This is not a trick question. This is not a sea lane try to figure your way out of this. You've fallen on the floor. You have your bottle of water. You're going to be there for 5 days, and you can only have one other item than the food that is not an electronic item. That cannot get you off of the ground.
Oh, my gosh. You're trying to put all these things in my way so I can't cheat at this game.
Only helps you survive.
Do you water think Grandpa could cheat?
Water and beef jerky.
See, beef jerky's the move.
Why?
If I had fallen
I know,
in
it seems like survivor food.
Yeah. If I had fallen in my own kitchen and I was on the floor, I would still, even though it was not in my hand, have access to a digital assistant that could in turn call the cops.
This is not about how you get out of the scenario. This is about you're on the ground for 5 days.
Exactly.
It's like, C-Line, what would you bring if you were on a stranded on an island by yourself?
Well, obviously an Alexa.
I would never be stranded on the island by myself because I'm so good at getting off islands that you could never keep me on one.
I'm actually very good at it. Every island I've ever been on, I've gotten off of it.
100%.
I've gotten off on an island.
Done that
counts.
Too.
That absolutely counts. Coca-Cola for 5 days kept this guy alive.
Had it been a Pepsi, he'd be dead as a doornail.
Completely done with. We've talked about, specifically in the state of Florida, but obviously all around the country, the plastic straws issue. Some stupid turtle gets a straw in its nose.
Hey.
And everybody goes, no more plastic straws. And then people start taking them away from all these different places. McDonald's replaces the plastic straws with paper straws and then finds out after about 6 months that those aren't even recyclable paper straws. There's weird stuff happening. This is the height of stupidity in the straw debate. I found it. Because if you heard this show, you probably heard me say, even if you don't think that the straws themselves are a big problem, it just seems like a giant waste. What a waste. All the single-use plastic stuff. We can have less plastic and be better to the environment by putting less garbage out
100%.
There.
100%. Huge fan of the corn straws because they are just like the plastic straws, but not terrible for the environment.
Whoa. You're on corn straws now? Weren't you on another kind of straws?
It was like bamboo. That's what it was.
Hay straws.
No, but the corn straws, the government will pay you to grow corn.
What?
Yes.
You have a corn crop in your backyard?
Not yet.
This is the plans of the future here. This is the stupidest thing ever related to the straw debate. High-end fashion brand Dior has stunned social media users after unveiling a set of reusable glass straws for $150.
Dior, you've outdone yourself.
$150 for these straws, which will probably just be used for people to snort cocaine.
They're glass straws, so they're breakable.
Glass breakable straws. $150 a piece.
Dior can swiftly kiss my ass.
Reusable straw have come into fashion literally in the last couple of years. Dior decided to jump on the eco-friendly train by releasing a straw set.
Eco-friendly? You're draining people of their money.
All of the cash gone out of your pocket. $150. I think I'll pass on this one. When we come back, we'll do the final dispatches. Stories that didn't make the cut. And today I learned to wrap everything up for a lovely Friday. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Keep Alexa busy or she'll have more time to plot against you.
Alexa, why are you sharpening knives?
I'm not.
Kind of sounds like...
Are you calling me a liar?
Just say Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
You did.
Beware the chat room. Trust us, you've been warned. This is the News Junkie.
Final dispatches. Stories that didn't make the cut. And today I learned to wrap everything up for a Friday and the week.
Oh, yeah.
A big thank you to Twin Peaks.
Yes, they brought in food for us. And last time they brought in a good selection. This time they outdid themselves. They had the half rack of ribs, the smoked St. Louis style pork ribs, and the blackened haddock tacos. Those were fantastic. Everything at Twin Peaks is made from scratch. They have something for every sports fan. So NFL is coming up. Keep them in mind for your draft parties and for your Sunday fun day. And they keep the beer at 29 degrees at all times.
Sweet. And don't they have they're very nice waitresses.
Attractive girls? Absolutely, sure. Yes.
Their whole thing is like the food is good and the views are even better.
Eats, drinks, and scenic views.
Hold you.
At Twin Peaks.
Thank you, Twin Peaks, for bringing the food. It's very, very good stuff. We do definitely appreciate it. We'll get into these final dispatches in a moment. But the hot take of the day from the Metro... They say, let's ditch motivational quotes and the burnout they inspire. That hang in there, kitten. That thing that says,
keep calm.
Hustle harder. Those are too much. It inspires burnout in people. Mm-hmm. And we need to get rid of your motivational quotes. They said, this person worked at WeWork, which WeWork is massive, man. I mean, that company has just absolutely exploded. It's super weird. And they almost treat the founder of WeWork like he's some sort of god or something. I saw a big piece on this company.
Are you positive it's not God?
I'm 90% sure. WeWork is this shared workspace company. It's kind of like the new thing where you get an office space and it's just open and you work with a bunch of other people and other companies and stuff. And they said that was at the WeWork water cooler, hustle harder. And it was too much, they said. There was another that said, don't stop when you're tired, stop when you're done. Putting aside the obvious question, just when did the office decor get so aggressive? I worked in offices with punching bags and vintage boxing memorabilia on the walls, increasingly common nap pods and chill areas. This is all so, like, millennial office space.
Yeah.
While seemingly benign, we don't have any of those things. We have zero nap pods at iHeartRadio.
Okay.
But I used to use one of the green rooms as a nap pod.
Exactly. I have a couch behind me. I'll nap.
But we don't have like the egg that sort of just holds you in.
That's true.
It allows you to take a new age nap. Somehow that's different. And these sit along work harder slogans from all these different memes that go on. They're not just silly. They celebrate the kind of overwork that destroys people's mental health.
No, articles like this destroy people's mental health.
Yeah, I think motivational quotes have probably not done too much damage. They probably helped a lot of people out. And every once in a while, and when I'm not doing that well, I'll look over and I'll see one of those hanging there cats.
Yeah.
I'll be like, all right, I'm going to hang in there.
Yeah, except you know that cat's dead now, right?
Oh, yeah, that was a long time
ago.
From
the 80s.
Well, that's sad to think about it that way. Let's get into these final dispatches. Here is Daddy Two Times with a dispatch from the News Junkie app.
What's happening, junkies? Now, unless we're counting spring break stuff, I don't got much orgy experience in my life. However, one time, like 4 o'clock in the morning, me and my buddy are out in Daytona, and he's like, hey, you want to stay out and party some more? He's like, yeah, why not? What's up? He's like, ah, we'll go to this house in Daytona. We get there. They're charging like $20-$30. I don't remember.
Cover charge?
At the door, and I'm like, man, I ain't paying this at 4 o'clock in the morning going to someone's house. He's like, oh, I got you, bro. You're going to like this. Watch. As soon as we go in, I saw what he was talking about. In every room of this two-story house was people naked and getting down.
Really?
And if you wanted to get down, you just had to take your clothes off and get down, too. And if you just wanted to watch, half of the rooms had windows built into the walls so you could do that.
What?
And nobody wore masks. Although I couldn't tell you what a single face looked like from that night.
Wow, man. That's a whole different world.
I can tell you what the faces looked like. Probably the cover of that Metallica album.
Oh.
What album?
Blood and Semen one, I think, is that what he's headed for. What were we going to say, Sabrina?
I was going to say,
just ruin it?
I can't believe they built a house that was made for orgies.
It sounds like Eyes Wide Shut to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
not as attractive.
No, I always picture things like this. I don't always picture them, but when I do, I picture them like Eyes Wide Shut, which is probably nothing like how they are. It's probably not in some big mansion. It's probably a little dirtier, grimier than you would imagine.
It's like the scene out of Bruno.
Bruno. Oh, I still haven't seen Bruno.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Sean, watch it this weekend. But there is a scene with an orgy in it.
I've seen.
They go to a swinger's house.
I've seen all the rest of them, but not that one. Here is, well, not movies, but, you know, his movies.
Right.
Here's Robin Vincent with a dispatch.
Yo, big ups for just playing Thriftworks. That was too sick. If you guys like other drum and bass, this one like Cursa or Seppa, you know, like
tell
super
me about
cool
it.
Stuff. Anyway, that's all I got.
He's talking wiggle, to me. Wiggle, I played Thriftworks.
I know what it is. It's the drum and bass remix of the Smokey the Bear thing.
Thank you very much. And anytime you need drum and bass, let me know, man.
You play it every day.
Drum and bass?
Well, you play a drum and bass remix or a trap remix to something
I
every day.
I don't often go drum and bass. And if you were going to tell me right now and everybody listening that drum and bass is the same as trap, that's offensive.
I like drum and bass. One of my favorite drum and bass songs ever is this one. I mean, this
my
is
God.
Like, yeah.
The most frustrating song.
When I go to drum and bass shows, I'm like, what? Get that Skrillex on. That's what I do there.
I mean, how many times have you seen Skrillex and he's not played that song, Sabrina?
Probably.
Zero. Probably all the times I've seen Skrillex, he's played that damn song.
Probably on the hit list. Here's Redneck Waterman.
Good afternoon, junkies.
Hey.
Man, I miss you guys. Ever since I moved to Georgia.
Georgia.
I didn't realize how good I had it down there when it came to radio selection during the day. My drives are boring.
You can
as
still
hell
listen to
at
us.
Work now. I rarely get to listen to you guys. Just happened to get off work early today. Just wanted to pop in, say hey to all the junkies out there. And man, you guys have it good down there.
Hey, back at you.
You guys always say people try and duplicate it. Nobody can. The talk radio up here absolutely sucks.
Yeah, I know who's up there.
Oh my, don't.
You don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about multiple people.
I've not necessarily heard you say a nice thing about other radio personalities. They're always insufferable.
No.
Or they're garbage.
I'll tell you that a radio host is terrible if they're terrible. If they're good, I will tell you that they're good.
The only person he's ever told us is good is Neil Rogers.
Neil Rogers is great. He's not just good. He was fantastic. Neil Rogers was the best, but they're great. They're good. They're good radio hosts.
Ryan Seacrest.
Let me go to the next.
The Grease Man.
No. Let me go to the next dispatch here. before I get myself in trouble.
Waddle doodle.
Here is Big Yeast with a dispatch.
This is a whole show too late, but the one jingle that I remember from Orlando that I can never get out of my head was the Family Auto Mart guy. I don't remember if you recall Big Dude would dress up, do a ton of different infomercials, but his tagline was, "You want a deal? That's great. Call 242-0328.
That's a good one.
Family Auto Mart. I'll see you here.
Is that his voice
that's
was?
My jingle.
Yeah.
Like a wee doggy voice.
Family Auto Mart guy is a staple of this town.
Oh, also, it's huge.
Oh, yeah. One spot. Here's Richard Fitzwell with a dispatch.
So I'm working in my shop here. Hi. And you said the old man fell very slow for very long or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I just imagine a very slow fall.
Very slow. Days.
That's the point of him describing it.
Just slow.
Oh, no.
Slowly falling to the ground.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Richard Fitzwell. The stories that didn't make the cut. 46% of U.S. social media users say they are worn out by your political posts and discussions. It's across the board. Men, women, 18 to 49, 50 plus, white, non-white, Republican, Democrat, everybody.
Right. But that's 46%, meaning the rest of them are the ones posting the political stuff.
There's 15% that like, the rest don't feel strongly about it just yet. They haven't made up their minds just yet, but soon enough they'll decide whether they hate that or not. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is Today I Learned for a Friday, August 9th, 2019. Seven stories from around the web and around the world and all that good stuff. Credit goes to Reddit.com and the Today I Learned section. And Today I Learned brought to you by Cento Family Moving and Storage.
That's right. Local or long distance, let the professionals do it for you. CentoMoving.com.
All right, let's get into the action. Here we go. Today I Learned this song.
What?
Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow is right.
Judy
was
Garden.
Almost axed from The Wizard of Oz.
No.
Because some felt it slowed the film down. At the urging of an executive producer and Judy Garland's vocal coach, it was left in, but the intro verses were removed as well as the reprise of the song later in the film. This is a great song.
Imagine how different LGBT culture would be if they didn't have Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
What does that mean?
The rainbow, and then Friend of Dorothy.
Yeah, Friend of Dorothy.
There's some tie-ins, but if they didn't have this in the movie, the movie would just feel totally different, I think. But they thought it slowed things down too much. Today, the average human body has enough iron in it to forge a metal nail that is 3 inches long.
Whoa.
Enough sulfur to kill all fleas on a dog. Enough carbon to make 900 pencils. Enough potassium to fire a toy cannon. And enough fat to make 7 bars of soap.
I could probably squeeze out 8.
Today I learned this news.
Frank Sinatra's
right.
Frank Old Blue Eyes.
He regularly tipped waiters, busboys, and chefs $100 to $200 each. However, he had a fearsome temper in restaurants. When ranting, he would throw food against the wall if he didn't like how it was prepared. And he would throw drinks if he didn't like how he was treated in the place.
Okay, so he's a bit of a diva.
Diva, tips good. The real back and forth there. Today I learned the widespread myth that HIV was created by the USA government was originally spread as a disinformation campaign by the KGB.
That's right.
This was in an operation called Infection, like infection with a K.
Well, we don't know how to spell.
There's still people who believe that. Today I learned this movie.
Ghostbusters
is right. Garrett Miller is the only Ghostbuster in the history of the franchise who never got an action figure.
Aww.
So sorry.
Well, give him an action
figure. That one would be worth money. It would be valuable if there was only one of them or something. Today I learned since 2005, it's been illegal to carry more than $5 worth of pennies and nickels outside the United States when traveling. Because they think you're going to melt them down for copper. You can't travel with that much change.
Huh.
And finally, today I learned this movie and song.
Straight out of Compton.
Straight out of Compton is right. Straight out of Compton never played in Compton because there are no movie theaters in Compton. So somebody make one. This seems like there would have been a shoe-in just for this movie alone.
In a park or something.
Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. We're back on Monday after the Monsters in the Morning. Stay put. The Jim Colbert Show is coming up next, followed by Corporate Time with Tom and Dan, all right here on Real Radio. Tell them when I'm down for a jackpot.